Nice. 720. WGN, Dane Neal in the Allstate Showcase Studio. On WGN, in for Nick DiGilio from 2 until 5. So all the Nick DiGilio fans are going to hopefully enjoy as we sort of like amble in, right, to New Year's Eve. So we sort of coast in on kind of a clock-related runway getting in there. I got Dino Tiberi to my right. He is going to be channeling Harry Carey a little bit later as we kind of talk 2016, some of the hopes for the futures, and we've talked a little bit about it as Cub fans are just so apprehensive about being positive and hopeful. You want to say, well, you know, it was an okay season last year, but you hope for some things, and the foundation is there for some good things and for some real celebrating, right? And the Cubs convention used to be a place where you could just even though the team was bad, you could still go and buy a, you know, a Manny Trio poster.
You could get a card that you could pick, got downstairs. All they sold anything you could think anything of. Amazing. And I'll be going back there, so we'll talk about that. I'll be there in January when
you may run into a Rick Monday.
You never know who you're going to run into.
An Ivan de Jesus.
Or as in my case a couple of years ago, who you might run over, as I almost ran over Theo Epstein as I was coming around the corner. That would have been a bad one.
I hope he's insured, because that's interesting that you mentioned that. And you look at the disappointing demise of people. We'll talk about some of those that we've lost in 2015. But there's some where everything kind of looks good trucking along Cub wise. And then you think to yourself, I hope nothing happens
right
to that guy. Right.
Yeah, you're already thinking, bad things that, you know, you're always looking at the other side of it. And we haven't even gotten, you know, in past the first of the year yet. I mean, we haven't even had time really to celebrate what already happened. I mean, it's just amazing.
Well, you look at Joe Madden. Joe Madden, I don't want to say he's an elder statesman, but he's kind of old looking. You know, he's a little bit old. He's not
sure,
Sparky Anderson looking old.
No,
but he's got many years of, and
absolutely.
He bicycles, right? He has an in moderation amount of wine. He does, so he's doing things right. Hopefully he's, you know, on whatever medications are recommended to him, and he's got a holistic, I know he's probably harnessing his chi right now. He's kind of got that zen.
Getting it ready, getting the RV. He's been traveling around, I'm sure. And
just don't want anything to happen to these guys, because that just changes everything.
Right? Yeah, so and then those expectations that everybody has for the World Series winner next year will be shot down before the season even gets started.
So we'll talk about the expectations for 2016, not just on the sports side, but we'll talk a little bit of Cubs and sports and things like that, as well as your thoughts. 312-981-7200. You can weigh in with what you expect out of 2016. It was great hearing Jim talk a little bit about some, I guess we'd have to agree, it was entertaining television, but there were only three channels, so we were riveted to that, or else.
That's all you had.
It was Bob Vila, you had some public television, so you had some other terrible programming, right?
Yeah, Channel 11, you always had that going on.
Yeah, 32 never came in good, so.
Yeah, and then there was just the fuzziness of Channel 44, so, it was, you know, if you wanted to watch a White Sox game, you know, once the broadcast was over, so was the station.
Right, so it was great to hear him talk about that. Now we've got so many different outlets for entertainment, so we'll talk about some of the ones that people enjoy. And I'm looking forward to 2016. Tonight on the program, we mentioned it, we're going to talk some Cub convention. Dino is going to channel Harry to talk about the future of not only the convention. Is he going to make an appearance at the convention? I don't know. Maybe channel him in like Tupac. You never know.
Well, that could happen. We'll wait and see on how that goes.
We're also going to be talking with a good friend of mine, Stretch Ruminer. You've never been to Kansas City, Dino?
I haven't, and it's on my bucket list. I want to get down there because I hear it's a good time.
Maybe you'll be there for World Series game 3, right? If they don't have home field advantage, of course they are the world champ. I've been to Kansas City, and a buddy of mine who is down there who dispenses his own brand of entertainment and world champion hot sauce, right? Hot sauce is a big thing.
Yeah,
he's going to be joining us a little bit later on in the program. And people are saying, well, geez, what am I going to drink tonight? Well, what aren't you going to drink tonight?
So it's exactly. If it's in the liquor cabinet, it's all fair game at this point, Dane.
Well, I think the discerning person wants to ease into the new year with some choices, right? Don't just fumble through, anything that you've got there. So we're going to talk with Karen Hamilton from Lagunitas. She's going to talk about some of the beers that are out there. And I'm excited about this. Well, I'm excited about everyone. So anyone who's heard their name, and there's no lack of excitement for everybody else. But Allison Napsha, she's the senior editor for Wine Spectator magazine, is going to join us to talk about wines that you can enjoy and also the perfect champagne for you on whatever your budget may be.
Well, I think Boone's Farm would sound good at this point. We're rolling into a new year. Let's get it going. Why not?
Boone's Farm. All right. There's nothing wrong with that. Plus, we've got some lists. Dan put together some great lists of the best and worst in Chicago pulp culture. Not pulp culture, but pulp fiction, right? Pop culture 2015. We'll do that. Last night, we did the list of the worst
people.
And what a list, right? Everybody from Meghan Trainor, right? Everybody from Hillary Clinton to, you had serial killers, child molesters. And
Jared from Subway.
Yeah, Jared. I think he fits into. We don't know if he's a serial killer. We don't know that. I don't know if they've done.
No, I don't think that's the case. He's had other issues. But we had a lot of great calls last night. I mean, people calling in and weighing in. And
they have opinions. When it comes to the worst people, people have an opinion, and they were able to weigh in. You could do that again. Sure, that's fine. So 312-981-7200. Also, let's give some constructive advice to our fellow Chicagoans or people in the greater Midwest. 38 states in Canada, WGN reaches. At night, the best New Year's Eve parties around the world. It's a smaller place. You can get on a plane, a train, an automobile, and a boat with a goat. You could be almost anywhere for New Year's Eve tonight, later on, if you wanted to. Where are some of the best places to party around, I guess, Chicagoland and also the world? Dino, have you ever experienced a New Year's in a different place? What do you mean by different? Okay, I mean far away.
No, not out of the Chicagoland area, as far as I could tell. I'm trying to think. I've been in Florida a couple times. I mean, that's about as exotic as it got for me. I mean, nowhere really, like out of the country or anything. But, I'm pretty much at this point, I haven't really given it. It's today.
And, we've got a commercial break. Don't worry about that.
We've got time to think about it, but it snuck up on me.
Well, I know you've been to Germany. I didn't know if you experienced a Bavarian New Year's.
I've been there for that. Absolutely, you're right. It's not a, you remind me.
Me of my own experiences.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I was there a few years ago with my sister and my brother-in-law, and we had a good time. We stayed in. But you're not home.
Right. Surprisingly, Dick Clark with a dubbed in,
Well, sure, with a German accent, why not?
No, David Hasselhoff actually does. He's very popular.
Don't hassle the Hoff now. Come on.
And Dan, have you ever experienced a New Year's outside of like our kind of current cultural consciousness?
Not physically.
Spiritually, maybe?
Mentally, maybe.
Mentally, there it is.
See, look at that.
I like the way he thinks.
If you want to get away spiritually, mentally, if you want to just, like I said, spirit yourself into a new 2016 consciousness, you can do that.
Sure.
Too, as well, here on the program. 312-981-7200 to add your thoughts. That's about it. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back with some great stuff. It's Dane Neal in for Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN.
Like a good blues riff right there.
720 WGN. It is Dane Neal in the Allstate Showcase Studio in for Nick DiGilio. I've got Dino Tiberi to my right. Dan is in the booth. And Kansas City, it's known for so many things. Now, baseball excellence, right, with the Royals. They're good. And that is a city that totally appreciates it. I was out there covering the World Series of Barbecue, the American Royal out there in Kansas City. So they love their barbecue. They love their baseball. They also love their hot sauce. And one of the guys that is on the line with us now, he's a guy that I know through our mutual friend, Guy Fieri. So he's been on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. He does the Mess Lords, travels the world in support of our men and women in uniform and in support of Kansas City on the entertainment side and entertainment and food scene. Also getting into the beer, too, and championship hot sauce. It's the one and only Stretch. Stretch, welcome to WGN.
Welcome again to WGN. Thank you.
Well, you know that you are in such incredible demand, so that we, of course, in the Chicagoland of the greater Midwest area, appreciate you being able to pull yourself away from the throngs to join us. So,
did you say pull yourself away from the thong or throngs?
No, keep the thong on. It is, after all, a family show.
It is a family show, and I think the holidays are all about families. Grinders is rocking and rolling. Stretch is rocking and rolling. I'm at a great place in Leavenworth, Kansas, just up the road from my new place we open up down here that's rocking, and it's called Marfield's Bar and Grill. They've been here for a long time, and some great family members down here. And, I mean, we are just pushing it to the max in all facets, man. Everything from the food, the beer, And, you know, Ultimate is just getting families at the tables, just gathering around, people coming in from the holidays from all over the country down here. It's really cool to see them all happening.
Well, when it comes to Kansas City, you have been bringing, you know, entertainment places for people to enjoy food and drink and music and everything for a long time. But the places keep expanding. So, Stretch, like, when is it going to be enough, or are you going to be able to kind of expand beyond the state limits? You're just going to keep it in Kansas?
Well, I hate to tell you, but Grinders' original one is in Missouri, and we have expanded. Kansas City has expanded. You know, we're on the Kansas side in Lenexa, which we opened last year, and now we're in Leavenworth, Kansas, just down the road from the base, which is fantastic. The Army base is right here, of course, Leavenworth Prison, and we have some of the great people working and drinking around us from there. But we're on the other side of the state line right now, and so, you know, we're going to take over. We're looking at the Tulsas. We're looking at the Des Moines. We're looking at Omaha. We're looking at, you know, further out towards Wichita, Kansas, you know. So I don't know when it's going to stop. It's going to stop the day they put the last, you know, 6 feet of dirt on top of me.
Oh, stop. That will never happen because, you know, we all know this, that you're supernatural. You know that. Now, you're as prepared as possible, of course, as the ever-growing list of not only fans but employees just continues. Do you have an emergency plan in case there's a prison break? And because you know they're coming to you first.
You know, there is always the chance of prison breaks and come after us. I have many levels of insurance. I'm actually worth more dead than I am alive, I think, at this point in time. But, no, you know, there's a whole bunch of people behind me that make this whole thing happen, and they really run the show. I just go in and kiss hands and shake babies anymore and work on recipes, you know?
shaking baby. Don't stir the baby. Shake them. That's what we learned from.
Don't say stir, not shaking, or shaking, not stir. That's it.
Well, the Grinders, for many, many years, as long as we've known each other, that was the thing. You know, the sandwiches and some of the food items that you have that have been so iconic to the area. But now what I thought was so cool is you are getting into one of and kind of dipping your big toe into the, you know, the craft beer world.
Man, we're getting ready. We have the new location in Leavenworth, Kansas, has a big 7-tank brewing system. We're actually in search of a brewmaster right there now, and it's going to rock. It was a great brewery before, you know, the High Noon Saloon and Brewery, and we're just going to take over the markets. We're going to do an AWOL beer. We're going to have super high octane. We're going to do the Starving Artist beer, twice as many beers for half the price. I don't know what we're going to do with it, but, you know, beer, alcohol, and food all go together, you know, and it just can't have one without the other. Everybody can ask, you know, if you want a sweet tea or not a sweet tea. I want to know if you want a Pilsner lager or a Hefeweizen.
So the beer is going to be coming in the near future, so people are going to look out for that. It's going to be under the High Noon label, so I think that's exciting. But people can already enjoy in one kind of group, one kind of demographic that's really been enjoying the hot sauce has been the Judges, right? So your hot sauces, let's talk about those, the mindset, the thought process, and, of course, your charge to victory in so many of these contests.
You know, hot sauce is one of those legal drugs that's out there right now. You know, it's a gateway drug to great stuff. And it's the endorphins that get in your system that make everybody just change a whole other state of mind. It wakes you up. It gives you good feelings. It, you know, it's an additive to food. And at the same time, you know, there's some people just take it for the high. And our sauces are winning label designs. They're winning, you know, the flavor concept, you know, best sauce in America. We're winning SCOVI units. We're in about 300 locations around the country right now, and wow, and also working on new flavor profiles. So it doesn't stop, man. I don't know. We're working on some green sauces, a little more vinegar-based sauces, and it just helps food. It's like salt and pepper on crack.
Well, just as you have done some things within, of course, a competitive barbecue with a KCBS, and that is a whole nother world. There's a lot of people that love food that aren't really aware of all of those things that are happening. The hot sauce is the same thing. Like, were you surprised? There's this whole separate culture that's just absolutely dedicated to hot sauce.
I'll tell you, between barbecue competitions and the hot sauce festival people or the hot sauce world, it's very, very, very similar what's going on. And people themselves. They might be drywallers during the week and or, you know, digging ditches or electricians, AT&T, whatever they are. Not to plug AT&T, but they're Google. Let's say they're Google. Now, let's say that they're out there and it's something they believe in. It's a competition. It's challenging. And, you know, there's so much going on with flavor profiles that are out there. And due to, I think, like, the, you know, the internet, really, and everybody can connect and touch each other. And now they have this big brotherhood that's combined. And you got to look out, man, because if all of a sudden the hot sauce world and the barbecue competition world fuse together, you know, it's chaos. I mean, it's you know, just give it up. You're going to have to call Bruce Willison to do a whole movie or something.
Well, you've always been about getting the word out and certainly about people touching each other. That's always something that you want to do is bring people together, right, in the name of great food and entertainment. So, well, let's talk about the music venues and some of the other things that are going on. What are people enjoying out there at Grinders?
You know, the downtown location, one, you know, best music venue of the year again downtown at the Crossroads original location. My Leavenworth location's been doing a lot of cover bands in there, which has been great. We do a karaoke night on Thursdays now. But again, you know, the food, the music, and the art, it just crosses all those cultural boundaries, like I always talk about. It is my dream. It is my belief. I think it is the way it is in the world. You combine all those, you can go anywhere in the world and talk, eat, drink, and, you know, and make a world of difference. Wherever you are, everyone has those in their communities. Everyone has those in their cultures, and you know our location brings all that together. It's community.
Well, you're of course down there in Kansas City and expanding the hot sauces 300 locations around the country, and it's so great. We're all fortunate, of course, that your dream is to bring all of those facets: the food, the art, the music, the entertainment, and of course the hot sauce to the masses and share it with people. So that's awesome. For people who want to find out all the things that you're doing, places where they can get the things you're selling, is there a website they can go to?
You know, they can always go to grinders.com. You know, they can follow me on Stretch Artist Twitter. But, you know, it's just Google Grinders, and you'll find all this stuff. And, you know, we do the Mess Lords. We're getting ready to do another Middle East tour. We got Europe coming up. We got all these other things. And that's what I love about, you know, the military just being up the street and, you know, the Grinders family. Expanding its wings. We got about 180 employees now.
Wow.
And, you know, it's just crazy what we're doing and all the support we have. And I could not do it without our crew, I'll tell you.
You know what? You could not do it without all of that support, of course, and they could not do it without you. And that's what's so awesome. So, you know, we love you, Stretch, and we love the things that you do. Of course, all the stuff that you do for the military and just on the entertainment side and just on the fun side, just being that kind of a jovial, fun spark plug of awesomeness that whenever you come into a room, it just makes the whole thing better. So I appreciate you coming on the station, sharing a little bit of yourself with Chicago. And one more time, grinders.com is the website. And thanks so much for being in WGN. Enjoy the rest of your holiday.
Dane, thank you so much. Love your family and everybody, and thanks for doing what you guys do up there.
All right, we'll talk to you soon.
Cool, peace out.
Stretch, go and see him down in Kansas City. That would be a place I think everybody would be. I mean, it's one of those kind of, it's a fun city. It's a small city. People think of, that haven't been out of Chicago, you think everything's kind of, I did anyway, think that everything's kind of the same,
sure,
right?
Sure, you go to one city and it's just like the one you left.
You'd be surprised. There are cities that are your kind of team photo of big cities in America, your Pittsburghs, your Charlottes, your Kansas cities. You think of them as big cities, but they're nothing like Chicago. It's like a handful of, and I mean that, a handful, four or five bigger buildings, and then that's pretty much it.
Yeah, know? I mean, I was down in Nashville a couple of, I don't know, 2 months back for the first time, and, you know, I really love that. I was only there for the day. I definitely want to get back there again, but it's, I know what you're talking about because it's...
You were laying some, you were at the Keith Urban Museum of Modern of Modern Midnight Infomercial Guitar Work.
Oh, absolutely. Just buzzed in, buzzed out. No, I haven't seen that, but I'd like to.
Well, Keith Urban is one of, he's onto something. Well, Nicole Kidman, you know, they're together. They're from Australia, right? So he lives in Nashville. He's a country Western person, or just country, I think,
two favorite kinds of music, country and Western.
As they're known now, and, you know, lots of success. So he's one of those great guys. But he has taken and he has harnessed the power of an Esteban. If you remember those, I get to stay up a lot. We've had a lot of, you know, little kids with teething and crying and staying up. And so I've seen a lot of really crazy late night infomercials. And Esteban is one where he's dressed as Zorro. Right. But he's like a flamenco guitarist. But he's not the kind of guy that just says, you know, buy tickets, buy my album, listen to me, I'm Esteban.
Right.
He's like, I can teach you to be Esteban, too, for $19.95 or three payments of $19.95.
Oh, there it is. And the first one, they chop that one off.
You get the sunglasses and the cape with the first payment. You get the guitar with the second payment. And then you get the videotape on how to do it with the third.
Full fledged Esteban at that point. Ready to go.
And you know what you do with it. Once you get those talents, you get them up to speed. You're ready to go, then you perform at your own New Year's Eve party.
There it is. That's a winner. There's no way around it.
It's a one-stop shop. The venue, the entertainment, it's right there. When we come back from this break, we are going to talk about some of the best New Year's Eve parties, ways to experience it. We know it. The best way is sit at home, turn the sound down on the Dick Clark, Ryan Seacrest Rockin' Eve, and then just listen to WGN.
Or pine for Guy Lombardo back in the day.
But for those people wanting to know how the other half lives, or the other like one half of 1%, right, we'll have that for you too. It is Daniel in for Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN. It is Dave Neal in the Allstate Showcase Studio in for Nick DiGilio from 2 until 5 a.m. on this. That is the last calendar day in 2015. It's been a great ride, Dino.
It sure has. 2015. What a roller coaster ride it's been.
And you know what you want to do is you want to send the year out in style, and it's and you do it with a party. I mean, traditionally that's the way that we celebrate, that's the way that we end the year. We do it on New Year's Eve. We do some kind of party. Either we attend a party ourselves, either we create a party ourselves, either we send out for the Esteban videotape and we become the party, right? Or we do like I've done for many, many years, is I sort of passively paw at other people's parties on television, and then I fall asleep. And sometimes maybe I'll wake up and it's not even New Year's yet. I'll see a sweaty Janet Davies and a Mark Giangreco as they send it live to an empty Buddy Guys where a Jose Sanders is there, like looking for someone coherent to interview. Have you ever seen that show?
I have seen that, actually. I've seen that several times, actually. The local angle, we're going out to the Hyatt Regency Hotel, and there's a bunch of people, dancing around waiting for the time to get there, and then they do the countdown, and then that's it.
With uncomfortable costumes, paper hats, and those, like, kazoo things.
Sure. That's a little bit much for me. That's usually about the time I turn it off.
But it's
interesting. I mean, Chicago does know how to bring it in. There's no question about
it. That's absolutely true. Not only in some of our great venues like Navy Pier, or as you mentioned, the aforementioned Hyatt Regency, where you can expect a balloon drop at midnight.
Star raise at 12:01.
What is with that?
You got a good view of it right here out the window. I know that.
I always wonder how those decisions are made. Whether it's, a certain, product that's goofy that you're like, well, geez, who thought anyone would like that? Or a television show that's terrible. I have no examples. I'm just saying, right. Whenever you see things, you're like,
who made that decision?
Right. Because, anything in this world that gets to a point of, other than like your own YouTube channel, where it's kind of national public consciousness, there's a board meeting. Reasonable people saying no one
probes. Open discussion.
I think this is a bad idea. No one's doing that. And so here you wonder. So you've got ball drop, right? This is the traditional New York thing. They've got I think it's made by, is it the Waterford Crystal people or is it Tiffany's or something?
Well, it's a big company that sponsors it and puts it together. So. But yeah, this thing.
Well,
here,
I mean, that's been around for a long time.
Oh yeah, they've been doing Dick that. Clark as far as doing it. Long as I can remember.
And so Chicago, we need to. Elton Jim had mentioned we've got to do it different, right? We want to have
right.
We can understand and appreciate the festivity, but we want to put our own Chicago spin
sure.
on it. So instead of a ball drop, we've got a star raise. How do you feel about that?
Well, it's a little strange. I mean, like I said, I've been kind of fascinated by it the last two nights. I come down here and I'm looking and I'm watching it go up. Like they're doing their practice runs out here. It's gone up a couple times and come back down.
Got to make sure it works.
Oh, exactly. The last thing you want to have is Mark Giangreco and Janet Davies together watching the thing stop halfway up.
I know, I don't want to invoke them specifically because
no,
I think
just in general. I mean, the local angle where you've got people talking about it from whatever station they're on, it doesn't make any difference.
It's great, and then the countdown.
Sure,
yeah,
that part of it's exciting. I mean, I've been down actually a couple of years ago. Dawn, my girlfriend, and I came down to Navy Pier, and we thought, oh, we'll check it out. Fireworks, the whole bit. Well, we decided to pick a night that. We had got some great pictures because it was snowing at a pretty good clip. And then but it turned out that they were working on Navy Pier. So when the fireworks came, we were all bunched together like cattle because there was a fence that they wouldn't let people walk through. But I'm sure now that's been completed. But it was that's the last time I've been downtown for this. So
well, dude, nobody's perfect. I'm just saying 312-981-7200. If people at a very celebratory time want to add in their thoughts on Chicago's New Year's Eve, like things that they've experienced, things they've enjoyed, things maybe they thought they would change, you know, or that we should change, suggestions, or if you have experienced a New Year's Eve, you know, out and about in the rest of the part of the world, we're going to talk about some of the different things that are going on around the world. I did not mention this in the open, but I'm very excited about this. Longtime buddy David Hammond, who has written for the Sun-Times, the Oak Park newspaper, Rivet Radio, he's been in Thailand for like the last 3 weeks. He is there. We'll be calling him or he'll be calling us, depending on what happens. But about 4 a.m. Chicago time. So stay tuned for that. He's been enjoying. He's a food writer, a lifestyle writer, a travel writer. So he's going to have some unique insights into the mysterious Thai culture. He's been posting on Facebook some of the pictures of the food. Some of it looks awesome, and I know a lot of it tastes really great, the Thai street food. Some of it is obviously alive and in of insect variety. So
well, that part we might have to just push over to the side. That's all. So insect variety.
You can call
grasshopper
in.
Maybe. What are we talking about?
312-981-7200. And you can also text in if you want. 708 said the New York ball is made by Waterford Crystal. Okay,
there it is.
So we know that is good. Muddy Waters with Eric Clapton and Johnny Winter at the old stadium. Well, the last song they played was Kansas City, Here I Come. That was from Steve in a limo 847. And I know that Stretch had mentioned some of the, and we were joking off the air. They have some like pretty decent. It's not the biggest venue, but he kind of, one of the places, the music venues, has kind of the equivalent, like a small version of, as we remember, Poplar Creek or like Alpine sure. Valley, a small version of that. So you'll see a three dog night or a
two and a half dog night,
a couple dogs, maybe Flog Hat will roll into town playing
Slow Ride,
and then the acoustic Slow Ride,
and then an encore Slow Ride. Sure, it's all good.
Well, when you got Molly Hatchet opening for you,
wow, there it is. Yeah. That's a double bill that no, you shouldn't miss.
No. You don't want to miss that. So Dave Hammond is going to join us from Thailand. So we're going to have a Thailand New Year's Eve. Actually, it's probably next Wednesday there. You know, I did so many hours ahead. But here's some of the best New Year's Eve parties around the world. One you could get to, you'd have to get on a plane. Dance the Night Away in Miami Beach. Have you ever been to Miami Beach?
I have not. I've been to Florida several times, but I have not been to Miami. So that sounds like it'd be a good time, though.
It is a city based on fun. Dan, you ever been to Miami?
I have not, no.
Okay. Well, as our resident, like, explorer.
You're the Miami expert, Dan. Let's hear all about it.
Well, I've never danced the night away in Miami, and I've never really. No, I've done some fun stuff. I've certainly covered the South Beach Wine and Food Fest, and so there was probably some dancing,
sure.
You know, at some point. And it was very nice, and the weather is great. It says the legendary Studio 54 may no longer be around, but its founder, Ian Schrager, is in the basement inside the Miami Beach Edition. Schrager's modern day vision of what's so they have like a club, right, to create that
feel like it was
like Studio 54
back in New York, right?
I never, Dan, you've been to Studio 54? I'm gonna ask every time. I know the answer is no, right?
Oh yeah, in the heyday.
Studio 42 and a third.
So
yeah,
I
sure.
Remember an Andy Warhol. As a, you know, a, like an 8-year-old Drew Barrymore was there.
Oh, God.
You know, with the, you know, with a champagne glass. So Dino, what do you think about Studio 54 when you hear it? Want to go back?
Nah, I think I'll pass. That there was a time for that, and that time is past at this point. But I know there was. I think they had a movie that came out with Michael. Who was in that movie? Was it Michael?
I'm trying Michael to, J. Fox.
Michael Myers. I don't know. I'm trying to think who could it have been. But it was. I remember I started to watch, and I'm like, what in the world am I doing watching this? No good.
So they revisited the heyday. It was, you know, those were big times. You know, disco and all of that stuff. Kind of like drug fueled.
A lot of blow. Yeah, there's
a lot of. I was just gonna say drug fueled excess. You didn't have to get specific, but yeah, apparently there was some of that going on. But you know, and people celebrated. It seemed like they celebrated almost every day. So it wasn't as though they needed New Year's Eve as a reason, you know.
Another day on the calendar to most of the people at that place, I think.
Look, it's David Bowie, right? There you go. You know, and Michael Jackson, and they're sure. All together. So that's going on in Miami. You could still get down there for that. The other one is attend a masquerade party in New York. And have you ever attended a masquerade? And 312-981-7200 for the listeners. Have you ever attended a New Year's Eve party where the theme wasn't New Year's Eve? You know, where it had kind of a theme to it. You know, I'm kind of open to that on Halloween, you know. What's the name of the place where you eat turkey legs and you watch jousting? You know, what is that?
Medieval times?
I'm okay with it there. I don't know if I'd be okay with a theme.
I don't know.
As long as it's an easy theme, like, hey, just dress casually and come over.
I think that would be a good theme. The whole masquerade thing, not my cup of tea there.
Well, these guys, Tommy Soleil, Travis Bass, Hissa Igrashi, and Matt Green, the only one pronounced correctly, are hosting one of New York's most popular New Year's Eve parties in New York to take place this year at Gordon Bar at the 60 Hotel. I'm sure that the tickets are sold out. They're going to have a jazz band, and you can dress however you want, I guess, a masquerade party. Or maybe just a mask on a stick. Right?
I know what you're talking about. it would be interesting to see how that would turn out if you had a lot of people that would come dressed up that way. And hey, who knows? To each his own. I wouldn't do it personally, but I'm sure there's many people who would.
Apparently some. Drink endless amounts of Dom Perignon at London's ME Hotel. So, but see, this is where I kind of get thrown off. I think we all love the terms, you know, all you can eat, endless buffet, endless shrimp, lobster fest, sure. Any of those kind of, those are buzzwords.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
It's a great hook.
I don't know how much I could drink, you know, of the Dom Perignon. I mean, maybe a bottle.
Well, you'd get there, and then the next day you'd be paying the price for that one, more so than you would be with other things. I know, personally, with me and champagne, don't mix too well, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah, not good. I'm not.
Give you a headache?
Yeah, big time. I'll have a taste of it just for the ceremonial part of it. You know, and then that's it. And next, move on to something else.
If you happen to find yourself in London, complimentary Dom Perignon will be served all evening, as well as caviar when you arrive, and a selection of canapes. Entries starting at £500 for a ticket-only entry and goes up to £700 per person for a spot inside. So if you want to be nearby.
My God, is there room inside for me?
If you want to be down the street, £500. And that's pounds, which, you know, I haven't checked the exchange rate, but I know that it's, I think it's, pounds have always
that's
been
expensive.
More than dollars, right? And
yeah.
then 700. And so if you happen to, let's say you get bored there, maybe you're disgruntled because you're not actually in the party because you didn't have the extra 200.
You're looking through the glass and everybody's having a good time drinking Dom inside.
You can join Ed Banger's class of 2016 in Paris. The name Ed Banger is synonymous with a good dance music for a reason. An entry into his party also guarantees that the music you want to dance to, crazy stuff like Cassius, Busy P, Molecule, Fugence, I've got all these on my iPod, providing the tunes. Plus, it's held under the Point Alexandre III, one of Paris's most beautiful bridges. Well, Paris is a beautiful city, I've been told. I've seen pictures. I've seen the pictures, but you can get out there to Paris and enjoy it. But there's nothing like enjoying, I think, New Year's Eve here, you know, in the Chicagoland area. And I think we've all kind of done some of those things. So you know, what is the essential? I mean, for us, we're boring, right? So this is where we're going to depend a little bit on the listeners. 312-981-7200 to give us some suggestions. But I'm thinking just, you know, some family, some friends, you know, certainly, a couple cocktails,
yeah,
maybe a lobster or a steak, and then you're good to go.
Yeah, it just depends. I mean, you can do the dinner thing first and then, you know, have some cocktails after that. You could just do like an hors d'oeuvre type thing where you're, you know, I've been to several parties at different sizes and, you know, number of people. So it's, you know, there's all kinds of different possibilities out there.
Yeah, and you're going to want to, I mean, not only just, everything has got to be in moderation, including explosions. And so some people build that in, and that is a big thing. Some people go out and, like, shoot some guns up in the air, and some people blow off fireworks. We've got Joe out in Rockford, and I guess that's what he does. Joe, welcome to WGN.
Oh, hello, guys. How are you? This is Joe from Berkeley.
Hey, Joe. How are you doing? So you're going to blow off fireworks tonight, a little bit later on?
Well, no. Back a few years ago, I was the Chrysler dealer. I sold the most Chryslers at Barrington, and I thought they were going to send us somewhere really nice. They sent us to Rockford Towers, the clock towers there for New Year's Eve.
Oh, nice. That was good. So when the fireworks went off, was it the kind that you watched, or did you actually participate and get to light any of them?
one of those LS, you know, Chrysler guys in back in the day, and I was the leading Chrysler salesman in across the country at the time, and I thought they were going to send us to, like, Miami Beach. We go to Rockford Towers. Can you believe that?
I believe it. I believe, you know, but Rockford can be great this time of year, and thanks so much, Joe, for the call, and if people want to add in their thoughts as well, 312-981-7200. Fireworks are something that people do.
Well, we did, as I mentioned, we did that. Navy Pier does their fireworks, and you know, that's, to me, that's a nice little sidelight to your party if you can get, have fireworks involved.
Safety first.
That's right. Not that I'm lighting them, I'm watching them.
Watch someone else light them.
Exactly.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. It is Daniel in for Nick DiGilio. Got Dino with me, Dan in the booth, 720 WGN. WGN, Dane Neal in studio until 5 a.m. It is New Year's Eve, and I think as people kind of look towards 2016, some of the things that they'd like to see, we'd, of course, you know, like to see a Cub victory. And, of course, you remember when the White Sox won. I think that was a great, absolute, awesome sports moment for Chicago. And then, you know, how they linked into you know, Journey. It was a Don't Stop Believing.
Sure, that was their theme song. I think A.J. Pierzynski and a couple others kind of, you know, took that over, made that their theme song.
Well, I mean, if the Cubs were able to win, Paradise City may be it. And, of course, you know, one of the things that is going to happen in 2016, this is huge. You know, one of the bigger rock bands, and thanks to Dan for coming up with the timely and apropos bumper music, Guns N' Roses to reunite for Coachella and a possible stadium tour. Is that possible? Now, for Guns N' Roses and for those people out there that, you know, familiar with the band, really, I guess essentially what that is, you got your two main personalities. You got Slash and you got Axl Rose. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's been a kind of a cavalcade of stars on keyboard and drummer. And so I think if you got those two guys, you feel like you have like the real Guns N' Roses.
No matter who the backup people are behind them, you still feel like it is.
I would feel like, yeah, it. You know, where some bands, it's different. You know, you need, you know, for a Van Halen tribute band, I got an opportunity to see Sammy Hagar and Michael Anthony out at Naperville Rib Fest.
Right.
You know, and I just don't feel that, you know, Van Halen, even, and I was a big fan of the David Lee Roth era. I liked, you know, all incarnations of the band, but I think without Michael Anthony, it just doesn't feel as Van Halen-ish. And he's just the bassist. But for Guns N' Roses fans, what are your thoughts on that? You know, Dino, do you think as you know, get into 2016? My thought is I got trust issues, but what do you think?
Meaning that you don't know if it's going to be pulled off or not, or you think that this is just a lot of talk and
no, I think they'll do it. I mean, I don't know. I think that they'll schedule it. I know that there will be lots of people excited to see it happen. There will be plenty of people who will buy tickets.
Do you think it's going to be a letdown once they get on stage and perform?
No, I think, well, they've both been playing the whole time. So it isn't as though, like,
it's not a matter of they're going to forget how to play or.
Yeah, and Axl's 300 pounds and he can't sing anymore. And it's just like, this is not what I paid for.
Right.
But these are volatile. It is a volatile personality with Axl. Slash is pretty solid, but you know where they're going to get in a fight. He's going to not feel like coming out,
right?
And he's going to quit and like throw down the microphone and leave.
It'll just be your luck if you were at the show where it actually happened and that was it. Oh, thanks for playing. You spent about $500 for those tickets.
Yeah,
because they said that those tickets were going to be pretty steep, and rightfully so. The last time they played was, you know, so many years ago.
I remember I saw him on the Use Your Illusion tour with the Sebastian Bach opening up. What was the name of that band?
Skid Row.
Skid Row
opened up. I had to, you know, like I think second row tickets for that, and that was great. I mean, that was back in
when they were rolling.
Yeah, that was some amazing stuff. It was great to see them. One of those great live bands, and that's why they can charge. Dina, you kind of mentioned it. That's why they can charge $250 to $275. You know, for a ticket. Wow, that has changed a lot.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's not paying $40 to go watch a band at Poplar Creek.
And we can ask people, too, if they want to chime in, 312-981-7200. Like, which band would you like to see in 2016? Do you have a band that you'd like to see that, that you'd like to see get back together? You know, we joked about Three Dog Night. Apparently, there's only a couple.
Two out of three dogs passed away not too long ago. So
yeah, like which bands would you like to see? And then what was some of your first concerts? And what did it cost? Because I think if we'll go back in the Wayback Machine. I remember seeing a Scorpions and with Bon Jovi opening up, and I think it was $11 at Alpine Valley, you know. And so these were reasonably, well, Bon Jovi wasn't famous yet, but the Scorpions were kind of big.
I got to tell you, one of my first concert that I went to is I actually saw James Brown.
The James Brown? You're like, no, it's the sports analyst.
Yeah, Jim Brown, former Cleveland running back, was playing. No. Yeah, it was James Brown. We saw him at the Allstate Arena, but the Rosemont Horizon. And we saw him for $5.
Wow.
Yeah. And
now, was that something, did your mom take you to that?
No, I was old enough at the time. I mean, I was probably in my, I was just like, I think it was like right out of high school. Right?
James Brown.
This was right when all the stuff with Rocky III was out. Or you know, Rocky Four.
So he
played Living in America like three times. I mean, it was a great show. You know, I always wanted to see him live because I always liked his music,
right?
Yeah, because my father played it all the time, and so you know, I was like, well, he'd be great to go see live, and I went.
Oh, that's got to be one of those great concerts.
And it was fantastic. He came out. They took the cape off.
They did the whole where he dropped the knee, and then they put the cape.
Took the cape off. Walked back off the stage. Came out and did it again. He had an intermission. He did three. He literally did Living in America three times.
Wow.
And the fans, they still loved it. It was like, you know, you never get tired of it. He was just off the charts the way he was moving around still at that time.
He had to kind of shuffle step dance.
It was unbelievable. I mean, that's one I'll never forget.
312-91-7200. Bands that you'd like to see in 2016, either get back together or ones that you thought were awesome. Or you can share your first kind of concert experiences. I think that's one of the really fun things. Chicago's a great music scene. Certainly, we've got some great music venues. You know, and as we're hoping for, you know, a Cubs championship in 2016, I don't think you can jinx it, right? Because I think the whole fate jinx clock is that slate is wiped clean.
After this past offseason, if it's not wiped clean now, it may never be wiped clean.
So, Dan, your first, do you remember, is there a band that you'd like to see get back together or a concert that that you'd like to see? And what was your first, was it Huey Lewis in the News? It was, wasn't it?
Actually, I have a answer that's just as funny for my first concert experience. It was in the early 2000s. The triple bill of Foreigner, Def Leppard, and Styx.
None of them had the original lead singers.
Yeah, I think
at that point,
there was about three original members between the three bands.
I mean, do you feel like you're? I don't know. They're kind of playing the songs, right? But Foreigner,
I saw Foreigner,
Def Leppard, and Styx. Well, those are all, man, or at least were great bands, you know, at the time.
Yeah, I mean, it was a solid like cover show between the three of them, and some Cougars gave me a Miller Lite.
Nice.
That's living,
there,
Dan.
It is. Oh, it you don't gets, forget those moments, that's for sure.
It gets no better. You know, a nice summer evening and some older ladies, you know, maybe they kind of like the cut of your jib and they think, hey, you look thirsty.
It's time for you to have a drink. I saw Foreigner at Ribfest. You mentioned that about Sammy Hagar. We saw a group of us went from my office, and
were all the members
just
foreign to the original cast?
Oh, they were so bad. We ended up just not even. We walked out. I mean, that's how bad it was. It was really bad. Triple bill. You think somewhere along the line, one of those between the three bands, one of them would have had a hook someplace, right?
It gets better. Don't worry, you can share your thoughts, 312-981-7200. Things to look forward to in 2016, certainly Endless Shrimp. That's going to be one of the things. We had a texter from the 219 say that's what they look for. They don't need the drinking. They don't need the music. They just need shrimp in quantity. So we'll talk about that when we come back. It's Dave Neal in for Nick until 5-7-20 WGN. WGN. It is Daniel in for Nick DiGilio, 2 till 5 a.m. on New Year's Eve. I do have Dino Tiberi to my right. Dan is in the studio. Esmeralda is up in the newsroom. Esmeralda, what was the first concert you've ever been to?
I went to go see a boy band called All for One.
Is that like One Direction, except like the local version from Berwyn?
No, they were national. They were, you know, famous, sort of. They just look like schlubs, though. It's kind of weird.
No, what?
It was the early 90s when they didn't have to look that good. There was a few rashes of boy bands that they didn't look that attractive, but they were still.
Was the four the number four?
Yes.
Okay.
So there wasn't like six of them, right? That's an excellent point, Dan. So now, was the music okay, or was it the dance moves that threw you off, or was it just that they just didn't look like, you know, they were just hot enough, right?
Yeah, they weren't, you know, they just kind of looked like regular Joes. They didn't.
That's a great name for a band.
The regular Joes. They were just, you know, you just, now they're all these like really boyish looking guys, or they have six pack abs, and these guys just didn't really look like much.
Were there any explosions or like a smoke show or anything?
No, they had really good voices. Oh. Though, that was the thing. They're really good singers.
Did any of them break out and go out on their own? And,
nope.
And none of them were.
None of them did anything.
You know, like a Justin Timberlake, he breaks out and he's.
No, they're all. They've disappeared into the ether.
No kidding.
I'm sure they're performing live in, like in Stone Park tonight. And so we'll. No. I'm sure they're great. Thanks, Esmeralda. Appreciate it. Well, it's going to come up to, you know, there's going to be music playing at whatever party that you've got, whether it's the music piped in from the television, from that broadcast with Mark Giangreco and Janet Davies, right? You never know, right? Or whether, you know, we're playing some music here on WGN, but you also have to have those beverages. I'm excited to have this lady on with us. And, you know, when it comes to like the authority on wine and champagne, you know, for whatever occasion, you're going to want to turn to the people from Wine Spectator. So excited to have the senior editor for Wine Spectator magazine, Allison Napsis. Allison, welcome to WGN.
Well, thank you for having me.
So, Allison, you know, what is it like, you know, at a time when everybody is kind of having their favorite wines, they're kind of looking through stores here. Binny's in our area is one of our big stores where people are kind of doing it. And you've got people that are helping them choose those selections, whether they have a certain varietal they like or a certain vineyard that they follow. But, you know, you're kind of dependent on whoever happens to be working at the store. I mean, for this time of year, do you feel your job is even more important?
Well, I mean, I think that you can't deny the people who are working in the store. They know the product that they have, and, you know, hopefully they've tasted many of these wines. And so I think that they're a great source to go to. But at Wine Spectator, we taste over 18,000 wines a year. So we have a little bit maybe more of a broader scope. And I think that you can come to us at any time, particularly at this time where we have our top 100 wines of the year out. And hopefully we have lots of good recommendations for you.
Now, when it comes to recommending good wine, and this is something that happens on a regular basis, and one of the things that you see is, if you know, wine can be approachable, it can be fun. You don't have to spend a ton of money in order to get a good bottle of wine. Is that some of the stuff that you kind of impart on your readers?
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that we want to get people doing is drinking wine. We want you to enjoy it. And it doesn't mean that it has to be $100 a bottle. We taste lots of wines that are under $15 a bottle, sometimes under $10 a bottle, and are some really good examples of the region they're from or the grape that they're made from. So there's something for everybody out there, and we just want to get you excited about it and get you drinking it.
For the top pick of the year, it's a Cabernet, correct?
Yes.
Now, do you find as time goes on, I mean, there's only so many different options out there, that some kind of come in and out of favor? Now, is it just kind of a cyclical thing, just like fashion or anything else? Or is it because maybe that particular year, those grapes were just better?
I think it's a little bit of all of that. I mean, last year, our wine of the year was a port. This year, it's a Cabernet from California, something that, you know, is a classic example. Many Americans love California Cabernet. So the things that we're looking at for the top 100 wines of the year is the overall quality based on the score, price, production, and the X factor. And particularly that's true of the number one wine of the year. And this year it was a great producer, Peter Michael, a wonderful vineyard, a great story, and a beautiful example of California Cabernet. So it's kind of a home run. And in other years, it's going to be, there's so many great options in the world of wine these days. You know, I actually think that there are more number ones out there than we could possibly report on. So we just have to pick the best of the best.
Is there enough wine to go around? I think as kind of the food culture, the chef culture has exploded, certainly, you know, wine has become even more popular than ever. And of course, we've got, you know, those great regions in California, but you're seeing other regions kind of pop up around the world to kind of fill that need. But is there enough? I mean, as China, they said that they're drinking a lot more wine than before. Are we going to have enough?
Absolutely. I think that you would be amazed if you were traveling into wine regions. And in fact, I think anybody who's traveled to a wine region says, oh, I have this great wine that I never can buy here in the U.S. There are lots of great producers out there who don't have any representation in the U.S., and they're just starting to make their way over. you know, maybe a small amount to begin with, and then maybe they'll have more availability. And the same thing goes for domestic producers in different states, not just California, Oregon, and Washington, but in New York, in Virginia, et cetera. They're starting to have maybe some opportunities to sell outside of the state, et cetera. So there's more wine available than ever, I think, and we're actually really exploring the breadth of the world of wine much better than we used to.
I mean, these are kind of exciting times for you. I know here in Chicago, we've just, as far as the amount of breweries in Chicago, we're second to only Portland now. So there's been an explosion of craft breweries. There's been an explosion of craft distillers. Have you seen where there are, on the wine producing side, you know, more vineyards or more people producing wines than ever before, even if it is on a small scale?
Absolutely. And Virginia is a good example. Domestically, we're seeing more and more wines. California also, even though there's many big names that probably people are familiar with when they go in all the time, there are a lot of people who are doing small production, boutique, you know, maybe they're making it at a facility instead of having a winery that they own and produce it there. And then, for example, one of the areas that I cover, Italy, there's lots of emerging regions there that you're seeing more wines from these areas in the United States. So, you know, there's a lot of tradition there, but they're new to us.
Well, as you bring a lot of those different regions, different wines to the readers of Wine Spectator, is that something that it's kind of on those countries or whatever kind of outreach bureau that they have to kind of get in front of you? So many thousands, you can't necessarily try them all. I know that here in Chicago, we're hosting the James Beard Awards, and I was part of the Rioja Wine and Tapas Festival. And so the wines of Spain, we're trying to get in front of everybody. Is that kind of on those different countries? If they have something good, find a way to share it with you?
Yes, it's certainly on the onus is on the winery to a certain extent, but we also, because we're trying to find what's new and interesting, we're also doing research all the time, taking trips to the regions, meeting producers who may not be in the United States and, you know, have their wines here yet. So we're looking out and doing a little bit of the due diligence for you as a reader that maybe you're not able to do.
Italian wines, they've been kind of on the front page of successful and popular wines for a while. You've got something like in New Zealand, of course, the Spanish. Are there any countries out there that are kind of sleepers that people aren't aware of that we should kind of, you know, look out for in the coming year?
I mean, I think at this point, you're going to find good examples. There's, I mean, for example, think of like Slovenia or Hungary, you know, places in Europe, Eastern Europe, that they're not household names for wine production. So there's some good producers there, certainly. And I think that really, though, exploring South America, South Africa, Europe, and California domestically, Australia, New Zealand, those are kind of the major areas that you think of for wine. There's still lots of new faces to see in all of these places. So in addition to the completely undiscovered places that you just wouldn't even think of for wine necessarily, there's lots of new people you can look at in the, you know, your own next door if you live in California.
Well, for those people who love wine, they envy you and the position you're in. Are you off on pilgrimages and safaris looking for that next great wine, or does it just show up in a case, you know, at your office in New York? How does it work?
It can be a little bit of everything. Our tastings are blind, so we do those in our New York and our Napa offices. But we also, as I said, travel to the region. A great example for me is I go every year to Vinitaly, which is a large wine fair in Italy. And it is literally football field atriums full of wineries. So I have the opportunity to just walk around, stop and taste things. And it's, you know, everything's all in one place. So there's that. There's also, you know, research, looking into other reference materials, where the interesting wines are. And sometimes I'm out at a restaurant and I see a wine that I've never tried before. So I try it and I'm like, wow, this is really good. So I find out who the importer is and ask them to send it in for our tasting so we can review it officially in that blind setting.
See, it is a lot of work. And of course, let the listeners know here on WGN, we're talking with senior editor for Wine Spectator magazine, Allison Natchez. Now, this is a big night coming up. People are going to be either breaking into some of the wine that they've saved for special occasions or seeking out the perfect bottle, whether it's wines for dinner or for sharing, or maybe champagnes for, you know, that final moment. So what kind of suggestions do you have? Like, what should people do?
Well, if you're thinking about sparkling wine, I think what's going to drive it is if you're a champagne purist, then you only want champagne from Champagne France. But there's lots of great options in the world of sparkling wine these days and many different price points. So you can start off with a domestic sparkler like Michelle, which is from Chateau St. Michel. It's their domestic sparkling wine. They make a Brut from Columbia Valley in Washington, non-vintage. It's 87 points and $13. light, refreshing, very pretty grapefruit and pear flavors. You know, it's just something that you could kind of sip all night. And at $13 a bottle, maybe a little bit less if you buy a case, that's something you can stock up on for a party. And then the other big thing right now in the U.S. definitely is Prosecco. You see it everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, there's some big brands out there, and they do a great job. I happen to recommend a smaller producer, Nino Franco. It's a family-run affair, and their Rustico non-vintage, I gave 88 points. It's $18 a bottle, so just a little bit more than the domestic sparkler. And then looking at the next level, you can kind of upgrade, if you like, to an impress price point. And looking at California, there's something from Roeder Estate, their L'Hermitage 2007. It was 93 points and $48 a bottle. This is the California outpost of the people who make Cristal Champagne in France.
Oh, nice.
And, yeah. So, and finally, I mean, I think if you really want to go out with a splurge, my pick for a splurge would be from Piper Heidsieck. It's a wine called The Rare. 2002, I gave it 97 points, and it's about $175 a bottle. But this is a rich, expressive champagne, and, you know, this is really the pinnacle of what champagne and vintage champagne is all about.
Wow, and 97 points, too. That's high praise.
Absolutely. I mean, it's something, it's 2002. They age it for additional time in their cellars, so 2002 is the current release. But it could spend even longer if you wanted to hold on to it, or you could drink it tomorrow night.
Absolutely. Now, for those people that want to keep up with you and all the things that you do, do you post things online on a regular basis? I know the magazine comes out in its physical form, and it's beautiful, you know, the pictures and everything, the way that you guys put it together. But where can they find you as far as online for current things?
Sure. Well, our website is winespectator.com. And if you want to have at your fingertips of all of our 18,000 a year ratings and more than 300,000 total, we have a great app that's called Wine Ratings Plus. So you can download that for Android or for iPhone, and it's there at your fingertips when you're in the store.
And that is so good. You know that people do that. I mean, of course, you know that, Allison. This is what you do. But absolutely. So to have it's Wine Ratings Plus is the app, because you know you find something, and maybe it's a vineyard you're not you know, necessarily familiar with, and you want to find out, you know, kind of that rating system. You want to know just how good it is, and you can do it right there at your fingertips.
Absolutely. I mean, the areas that I specialize in are France and Spain and Italy, but I'm using it all the time when I'm out at restaurants and store to look up, you know, one of my colleagues' wines in California or Washington. So I highly recommend it.
I know that you're out there, you're dispensing information, you're putting in the magazine Wine Spectator, and that's your job, that's your vocation, to kind of help people through that. But do you find, and I'm sure you have so many friends in the restaurant, in the hospitality, in the wine business, are they constantly asking you, or are they constantly texting you, Allison, what about this one?
Yeah, I mean, I think that certainly people get excited about wine, so they're eager to share it, and especially if it's something they particularly like, they want to share it with their friends who they also know love wine. So, I mean, I think that's a growing phenomenon. And certainly as somebody who's involved in wine, I definitely get those texts and those emails on a regular basis.
Do you just text back? You like, you just tell them, like, go to the app. You can do it right from the app. You don't have to bug me.
Well, that's okay. They want the stamp of approval, and I'm happy to, as I said, our job is to get people drinking wine and enjoy it. So that's the fun part.
The occasion is New Year's Eve. It is coming up. The magazine is Wine Spectator. She's the senior editor for it. It is Allison Knapp. Just, you know, I can't thank you enough for being on the show today. And so when or how often do you get to Chicago?
You know, it's been a while since I've been to Chicago, probably a little bit over a year, but it was wonderful. Had some great meals and some wonderful wine there. And it was summertime, so it was beautiful weather. But I hope to come back soon, definitely.
So hopefully 2016 will include some people enjoying and incorporating your recommendations. And hopefully later on in 2016, it'll have you. And then you'll be here in Chicago with us as well. So, Allison, thanks so much. Happy New Year, first of all. And thanks so much for being on WGN.
Absolutely. Happy New Year. Cheers.
WineSpectator.com. So now you got the word from the mountaintop on what to do. Now, if she was here in Chicago back, well, a long time ago, she would have seen just as 815 Scorpions and Bon Jovi at Rosemont. And they didn't know who Bon Jovi was. Who did?
No one knew at that point in time. They didn't have many records out or songs out there that were popular at that point.
312-981-7200. 2016, which bands would you like to see? You can also share your first concert, as kind of we all have done. Prince and the Revolution back together again. You want to see the guy in the doctor costume? I don't think Prince, you don't need to see the rest of those guys. What did they do? Nothing, huh?
I just stood around the background and played their instruments. That was pretty much it. I mean, I'm probably sure there was some dance things they did together, but
somebody on tambourine for sure.
And what happened when it was just a cymbal, when he didn't even have the revolution with him?
Yeah, you don't even need. Is the band called whatever it is? 312-981-7200. Dane in for Nick till 5, 720 WGN. Wow, some great music. Thanks to Dan in the booth for helping us enjoy some of the music as we lead in, as we have that kind of casual morning runway into New Year's Eve. And people, 312-981-7200, are sharing their first concert experience. Also, bands they'd love to see. It's nothing like a great concert in the summertime, certainly here in Chicago. But bands they'd like to see either get back together or perform live. And also, of course, it is New Year's Eve, and you can share what it is you're going to be doing tonight, maybe inspiration for others. There's still time to go ahead and switch up your plans. I got an email. I was just looking, and apparently I'll be celebrating New Year's Eve with Chuck E. Cheese. you know that you have.
Wait, a ring in the beer, a ring in the year with that fine little.
Now, this has been one of those things that has always kind of confused me, right? Because it is every part, you know, it's an arcade, right? It's an arcade. It's an amusement park. It's Chucky's in a band. So if maybe that's one of your favorite bands, he's got his little cast of
kids. Well, it'll be one of the kids' favorite bands. There's no question about that.
Yep. But he's a rodent, right? Which is seen that the health departments aren't necessarily as supportive of rats being in the restaurant environment. And apparently, and you know, you fully... you feel he crossed that line and transcended into lamehood, right? When you know that
lamehood.
Well, you know, hey, Dino, come on. We talked about, you know, celebrating New Year's Eve under a bridge in Paris on a rooftop in London.
And you're going to end up at Chuck E. Cheese tomorrow night.
On a rooftop in London with endless Dom Perignon, you know, costume bars, you know, costume parties in New York or. Studio 54. I'll be ringing in the new year with Chuck E. Cheese.
And with some lame pizza.
No. Stop. Stop. Because the pizza, if you're hungry and you pour it in a storm, I mean, it's, yeah. One slice for me. We'll shout hip, hip, hooray as midnight chimes in from Paris to Rio de Janeiro. So every hour on the hour, we're going to be. Well, we're only going to be there for 2 hours. That's all I want to do. Then people get sleepy. You play enough Frogger or whatever, you ride on the little, you know, coin-operated horse, right? What do you do with Chuck E. Cheese? But Chucky's going to be ringing in the New Year, so that'll be fun for the kids. They usually fall asleep. So 4:30 to 8:30, come out and join us at 200 West Roosevelt Road in Villa Park.
That sounds like a gig not to miss. If you're in the Villa Park area, stop in. Say hello to Dane. He'll be there with his family.
I'll be there in costume. I'm dressed as Esteban playing flamenco guitar.
Well, there it is.
The other thing that we're doing, talking about either music, we just heard from Allison from Wine Spectator as far as some of the different forms of domestic sparklers, right, that you can enjoy. But also music and for bands, 312-981-7200. People are adding in their concert experience, bands they'd like to see, bands they did see. The first experience from a 573 area code, I don't know where that is, was Nickelodeon live featuring Bewitched.
You know,
with the Dueling Darrens.
Pandora. Yeah, no, probably not the same.
Yeah, so that's great. Okay, a Nickelodeon concert. And then at Navy Pier, people are going to be enjoying the New Year's Eve there at Navy Pier. That's always fun. And here's this. 224, I work at the Allstate Arena, and the best concert I ever saw was Cher. Now, that's a person who's been doing concerts. Well, she's done about like 5 farewell tours, right, for sure. I think that, you know, maintains interest, but she always comes back. Demand is there.
She's been able to turn back time. There's no question about that.
She puts on a great show. A lot of costume changes, too.
Yeah, I've never seen her, but I'm sure she's got to be a pretty dynamic entertainer from what I've heard over the years.
All the hits.
Yeah, there's a lot. Just as you would with Barbara Streisand, someone's going to, you know, Cher's probably the next in line.
Dina, would you compare the careers, the trajectory, just the star power of a Cher and a Barbara Streisand? Because you look at, now Cher is one of those individuals who has had success. I think she's an Oscar-winning actress. I think she's won
Yeah, you're right. She is. She did win one back in the day.
Just one. Now you're belittling her. I guess she's probably had maybe just one.
Yeah. What?
And Barbara Streisand, I don't know if she's been in movies too, of course.
Yeah.
So where would you put it? Like, would you try the network stars?
Well, how would you? That would be a tough call. I don't really see either one of them being, you know, in the same category as, say, a Linda Carter or someone else.
Dan, have you ever been to Chuck E. Cheese?
Yeah, many years ago. Yeah,
Just as a like an observer or as a participant? Did you know? Because I had never been there like as a kid. I've only been there like with other kids.
Okay, yeah, I've only been there as a participant.
Oh wow!
So
what is the allure? Number one, and our little
games and stuff to do, right?
Eleanor, our middle child, she's 7 years old now. But when she was young, she was terrified of Chuck E. Cheese. Yeah, she would look. I mean, she would know where he was, wherever he was. So, Dan, did Chuck E. ever throw you off with his? He's big and he's a rat.
Yeah, no, I've never had any physical encounters with Chuck E.
Thank God for that.
That's my new book.
Wow. Right. My life with Chuck E., wrecked by Chuck E. Cheese.
312-981-7200. A lot of things you can weigh in. And of course, your thoughts on Chuck E. Cheese music. And, of course, New Year's Eve. It's Dane in the Allstate Showcase Studio, 720 WGN. WGN. It is Dane Neal in the Allstate Showcase Studio. We are in for Nick DiGilio in the crew until 5 a.m. today. It is New Year's Eve, and people are given an opportunity. They've got 312-981-7200 to share what they're going to do on New Year's Eve. Y'all know I'm going to go to Chuck E. Cheese, and so you've got me beat if you've got anything more exciting than that. But also, you can share, you know, music. We're talking a little bit about some of the bands that are going to be reuniting that you'd like to see in 2016, and also sharing your first one. I think buying somebody tickets to one of their favorite bands is a great thing to do. It's not necessarily a newer cutting edge product. We're going to be talking with Robert Haynes Peterson in just a second, but wanted to kick in that first concert, Bobby Sherman from the 847. At the Chicago Auditorium in 1969. I wonder what that ticket price was. So text back with that. That had to be like pretty reasonable, I think, economical.
Sure. 15, 20 bucks.
Yeah, you can get somebody, you know, an experience like that. That's something that's out there. But a guy who's got his hand on the pulse, so many people got great stuff for Christmas, but people want to get stuff all year round. And some of the cool things coming up in 2016. He's from AskMen.com. Robert Haynes Peterson, welcome to WGN.
Thanks for having me back.
Oh, no problem. It's only been a year, because you know what?
It's only been a year.
You are a targeted special forces guy when it comes to gift, when they need you know, the top clearance level as far as ideas and suggestions. We come to you. So Robert, what's out there? I mean, what are some of the things that the discerning buyer should look forward to in 2016?
So I think, you know, I was just looking at this, and I think one thing that kind of comes all the way across this, just as an overarching theme, is that they are real-life, tangible gifts, but with a major online interaction, which I think is, you know, obviously something that's been going on for a long time, but I think now we are just fully embedded all the time online one way or another. So, for example, I was thinking that, you know, one thing we're always trying to do after the holidays is work off all the weight we gained during the holidays.
Yes, we are. Yes.
So there's a site called Whole Life Challenge. It's an online 55-day health and wellness challenge. And I've done it, actually, and at least a couple times I've done it. It's worked pretty well. It's popular among kind of the P90X types, but anybody can do it. It's a health, fitness, and wellness regimen that emphasizes clean eating, clean living, finding your center, you know, like getting all your sleep, doing all your to-do lists, you know, just all those kind of whole life elements for about 2 months.
So you mentioned P90X. Now, we've all seen those infomercials, and yeah, it isn't something I could do more, you know, for more than maybe, you know, half an hour at a time, but it kind of just focuses on sort of that boot camp approach to fitness, right? So if you could find a way to add in a little bit of the nutrition and maybe some of those kind of holistic elements on the mental side, maybe ways to harness your chi, I think that sounds pretty cool.
Exactly. And again, because of that, it doesn't mean you have to be like a completely, you know, ripped CrossFit, you know, kind of badass. but that it's certainly attractive to people that are doing these more hardcore workouts. But you can be, you can have just started out, because one nice thing about the program is it works in little bits and pieces all day long. So it's literally like in 10-minute segments, or just do this a little bit better kind of thing. So the thing that they've got new this year is that you can buy gift certificates. They have $39 gift certificates for you or your friends for the next challenge, which begins January 16th. And they're emailed.
No, when they say that they're emailed, so these are challenges, so email challenges, so you get kind of this.
Sorry, the gift certificates are emailed. So you order the gift certificate, and it can be sent, you know, to whoever you're sending it to.
Now, you mentioned little bits and pieces throughout the day. So are we going to see people in a board meeting and say, hold on, I need to do some push-ups right away, you know, at this next juncture? I mean, is that the way that it works, or is it?
Not quite, but it is kind of integrated like that. You know, it's certainly you find your time to do your 10 minutes of meditation, or your 10 minutes or 20 minutes of exercise. Obviously, if you're in a more complex program, you're doing more exercise and you're doing more yoga or whatever it is you like to do. But the advantage is, if you are in a situation where you need to get more fit or more healthy or more balanced mentally, it's a way that you don't have to feel overwhelmed, you know, that you're not walking into a CrossFit box and having, you know, these beasts of men and women, you know, kind of intimidating you. So it's a really nice, and they team up, people team up online so that you have support, and you have, and it can either be your real life friends, or it can be people you've never met before. So it's a really good combination, again, of the real world and the online world.
You know, anything out there that can kind of jumpstart things and inspire you, I think is very, 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 very cool. So what else do we have?
So speaking of the real world and the online world, if you have kids, you've probably seen either the ads or the toys for something called Anki Overdrive in stores. A huge gift this Christmas.
I don't know.
Don't have kids. You're going to want this for yourself.
I have kids, but I don't know if I've seen. Maybe it's regional programming that is promoting the Anki Overdrive. I'm not. But then I was not aware of Pie Face last week, and I guess that's really big too. So maybe I'm just out of step, Charlie, on this stuff.
It's a little crazy how much you have to stay on top of all of the multiple video games and toys and everything else that's out there. This Anki Overdrive is a racetrack, but it's nothing like the Hot Wheels you grew up with as a kid. The cars are controlled by your smartphone, and there's a free app that interacts with them, and it actually adds to your little toy car achievements, skills, weapons that are useful for disabling and slowing down the other vehicles on the tracks. And you can play with your friends. You can play against non-player characters on the computer. And it's this great, flexible track that comes in pieces that are easy to take apart and put together. One of the cool things is that the cars aren't stuck in a rut. You know, they can drift, they can spin around, they can head the wrong direction. So it's possibly the most unstructured racetrack you've ever seen. And it's also the construction is super versatile. So I played with this at Toy Fair, played with it off and on in a bunch of different things.
That's right.
And you know, I've got a small apartment. This thing puts together and comes apart super quickly. You're not limited to, you know, you're not limited to just making a figure eight. You can use household props to run it in or under or build it up. The starter track is a little pricey. It's $150, which includes two cars. But I think if you're going to get into any sort of Toys to Life, activity like Disney Infinity or Amiibos with the kids, if you have any interest in remote control cars, anything like that, I think this is probably one of the best new toys out there.
It sounds cool. And you've done that research. You've kind of vetted the product to make sure, you know,
That's my job, is to get in there, dive in there, and really kind of, you know, take the bullets for everybody else.
Quality control. I could see the manager of the toy store, Mr. Peterson. It's been 2 hours. You're like, this is...
Like, I'm still researching.
Well, I think the advancements in any kind of way that the kids can pry your cell phone away from you and be able to use it, I mean, that, I think, more power
exactly.
to them. But that sounds awesome. $150, you know, in this day and age, that's not that's not that much, especially when it's
not prohibitive, especially when the toy works really, really well. You know, it's another thing if you, just like when we were kids, if, you know, your parents spent all the money on the one thing you wanted and then you put it together and it just wasn't that great. This is, you know, this is something I've even promoted it to people in office buildings, you know, because it is something you could set up during lunch and, you know, race each other and then put it away and nobody will ever know you had a racetrack in your office.
No one will know that there was an illegal gambling ring.
Exactly, a whole ring going on.
Okay. Now, how do you charge it? Because that was the problem when I was a kid, too. I would get the presents. They would have batteries. They would work great for the half an hour. And then the batteries would be dead and the presents would never be the same again. I mean, how can you charge them up with a wall charger?
Yeah, it has a like a little docking station for, I think, about four cars. So, you know, arguably, if there are two of you playing and you have four cars, you can just keep running continuously. It doesn't take very, very long at all to charge the car up, and they last for quite a few races. But it's just like your cell phone or anything else. There's no replacing batteries. You just pop them in the dock and recharge them, and you're good to go.
Anki Overdrive is the gift. I'm sure people can just Google that and get themselves into one of those tracks. So what are the other items out there? Usually you have your hand on the pulse of so many different things. We've handled like the self-improvement and then also some, I think, fun and amusement for kids / office. But what else you got?
So I think a little culinary education is in order. The monthly subscription boxes are kind of all the rage now, and you can find they offer anything from collections of high-end accessories to custom-made comic book figures. And there's a relatively new one called Try the World, trytheworld.com. And it focuses on providing gourmet foods from around the world. So it comes every 2 months, and each box, they've curated a selection of foods and spices and teas and, you know, whatever, from specific locations around the world. You get little culture guides, is what they call it, little printouts with regional recipes and traditional methods of eating, whatever, you know, what's in the box. The company says it works with small family-owned companies and with celebrity chefs, whoever those might be, to curate each offering. And they even, right now, they have a pop-up store going on in Manhattan. So there's a brick and mortar where you can go and check out their goods. They also, one advantage they have that a lot of the subscription boxes don't have is that, you know, say you find something that you like in one of the boxes and you want it again, they have a little store online where you can buy all of the components of the box after the fact.
Nice. So from a pop-up kiosk perspective, so kind of an edible, like Rosetta Stone kiosk, right, where like I'll take the flavors of Guatemala, and then they give you this little box. And you mentioned celebrity chefs. Now this just kind of was something that came to mind, and, you know, as part of the think tank process. But, you know, how successful do you think our good friend Andrew Zimmern would be if he had one of those box of food or whatever box of something edible?
Absolutely, and any chef that or any Food Network chef who also has products to, you know, kind of push on their own, if they integrated those with some unusual ingredients, you know, again, you know, from India or someplace, tied it into a theme, I think they would do really well. I think it's interesting because the subscription boxes kind of started off as a kind of a real kind of nerd culture thing. There's one called, how come I'm blanking on it, Loot Crate, which is themed around different science fiction and comic book items. And it's now become this kind of very glorious, luxurious thing. So all of the online shopping sites have their subscription boxes. So yeah, I think any of the high profile chefs would have a great opportunity with it.
Well, with Andrew, obviously the box would come and you'd dump it out and it'd be just a bunch of larvae from like Bangladesh.
Exactly.
Or something.
There'd be larvae and like a 15-pound hamburger and then, you know, scorpions on sticks.
Right, and then just like a little some eyelid garnish.
Exactly. These are great too because they're about $40 a box, which is
nice.
A little pricey, but it's only every 2 months. You get a ton of good stuff. But you can also, they have deals, so like if you order upfront for 6 months or 12 months or whatever, you also save a chunk of money on the box.
And you can't put a price on the experience, right, that you get, because hopefully it'll allow you, and ideally they're putting things that are, you know, kind of tasty offerings from that area that you'll taste. You're like, hey, wow, I really like this. Let's try some more. So they're kind of branching out kind of as ambassadors for the culture on that one. So did you have one more to share?
I do. So, you know, I love my whiskey.
Yes. Well, you're not alone, but you are a leader among those of us who are not alone.
There are a ton of fans. So Basil Hayden, which is a wonderful bourbon, they've partnered with Quoddy, which is a Maine-based producer of high-quality handmade leather boots and shoes and moccasins and boat shoes and things like that. So the duo have opened a mini shop online at a site called Huckberry.com, which already produces or markets these wonderful kind of artisanal gifts. This page has gifts from Quoddy inspired by the bourbon. So at the high end, there's a $400 limited edition set, which includes some rocks glasses, beautiful, beautiful rocks glasses, nestled in these little handmade leather koozies, which are then stored inside a leather display box. And more importantly, there's these just incredibly comfortable, handmade for each order leather boat shoes that they're dubbing drinking shoes. And I think everyone should have a pair of drinking shoes.
Come on. We've all had it. I don't think the smoking jacket should corner the market forever. So drinking
exactly.
Shoes.
We all have other functions we need our clothing to do besides smoking.
Well, Robert, the drinking shoe, what are the essential ingredients? Is it more about just comfort, right? Or is there extra kind of traction to make sure that you're taking steady steps?
I think the traction is built in because it's a boat shoe, but they're just insanely comfortable shoes. They're, you know, customized to your size, your measurements when you send it in, everything else. You do have to pick the bourbon up separately, unfortunately, but that's not too hard. And then if you don't want to spend $400, they have other more modest gift options on the page. Like they've got these beautiful copper coasters. They've got a cocktail shaker that looks like a mason jar. They've got a spiced apple syrup from a local producer called Morris Kitchen. You know Morris Kitchen, and so it's a great way for, you know, if you want to get something for the bourbon fan in your life that's not just another bourbon, it's a great tie-in.
And that's at hackberry.com, of course, the Basil Hayden and of
Quoddy or Quoddy. It's Quoddy, and they're out of Maine.
Quoddy out of Maine. So great shoes, great leather goods, and great bourbon. I think that's an incredible combination. So people want to get even more information, follow you on a regular basis, see some of these picks, and get maybe some more expanded info on all of them. Where can they reach you in AskMen.com?
So AskMen.com, and then there's a subsection called Fine Living, and that's where most of my stories show up there.
Fine Living. That is a residence. That is an address we all want to have, right?
It's not a bad place to live.
Where is Robert Hayes Peterson? He is in Fine Living. Well, that's a great place to be. You belong there, and thanks for taking us with and kind of showing us around some Fine Living for the last few minutes. And, Robert, thanks so much for being in WGN.
Thank you so much, and Happy New Year.
Thanks, Robert, and sharing, you know, some ideas and ways to have the food of the world delivered to your door. What we are going to have, and I'm excited for this, coming up a little bit after the 4 o'clock hour, David Hammond, Oak Park's very own, Chicago's very own, is going to join us directly from Thailand to talk about the food and New Year's Eve. So stay tuned for that. Got a good beat. I can dance to it. 720 WGN, Dane Neal in the Allstate Showcase studio. The Nick DiGilio show in until 5 a.m. on New Year's Eve. Dino, your thoughts. We're sharing a little bit about things that people are looking forward to in 2016. Bands they'd love to see back together. Looks like Guns N' Roses is going to be getting back together. And I think that's exciting. And people are also sharing some of their first concert experiences. It's one of those, regardless of how old you are, it's one of those important moments, and people have definitely done that. So 630, first concert, 1979, Rockford Speedway, REO. So REO Speedwagon, The Cars, Ian Hunter, and Head East, all for $12.50.
You really can't beat that. That's an average of, if I'm doing my math right, about $3 a band.
I mean, you can't beat it. Was that part of the, was it the Don Kirshner music show?
Rock
you,
concert, right?
Right, where you just had like a tour bus, you got all the guys on there, like, and they were just kind of ordered to go and play for these
all
people.
Right, play four songs and get out.
Is that the way it was? Well, I mean, the bargains were there. I mean, looking at now, I mean, you look at concerts, they are
ridiculous.
So expensive.
Really,
you know, I mean, granted, you've got some of those, you know, iconic touring bands, and you mentioned off the air, we talked about it, like Jimmy Buffett. That is a... I mean, you know you're going to have a really good time.
Right. That money you know is going to be well spent because you're going to have a good time from the time you get to the venue until the show is over and you're stumbling around trying to find your car later on. That's all.
So the 847, first concert, Chicago, Chicago, and the Beach Boys at the Chicago Stadium in 1974 for just $12.
Yeah, that was a different time, you know, a mere 40 years ago or so. $12. You can't even buy a beer for $12 right now.
You can.
That's how sad.
But well, that's it.
Yeah, that's it.
You can't buy two beers or a beer and a chocolate chip cookie.
Yeah, that's it. $12. Done.
312-981-7200 to add your thoughts. What are you doing on New Year's Eve? We've mentioned it, Dino. You're going to be kind of, I think it's still playing out, right? You're not sure exactly.
Yeah, we're not sure yet. It's still kind of in limbo. I'm down for whatever. We're just trying to decide what will fit the best for the two of us tomorrow, whether it's dinner or whether it's just, you know, take out, bring it home and watch some movies, whatever. I'm down for whatever tomorrow night.
Nice. All right. You know that I'll be at Chuck E. Cheese, you know.
You know, if things really break down, maybe you'll see me over at Chuck E. Cheese and watching the paint dry. I don't know.
Bringing in the New Year celebrations of Rio de Janeiro. Now, you wonder, because you think of, you know, some of these, you know, cultures where there's, I think of Rio de Janeiro on a New Year's Eve, and I don't know if they'll have it up at the big screen, you know, Chucky Vision, you know, right there. But I think of just scantily clad ladies with giant, like, plumed headdresses and costumes,
right,
and a lot of shaking going on. I don't know if that's good for the kids.
They might not be ready for that, although we need to get ready for it with the Olympics coming up in 2016 with Rio. I mean, that's what it's all about.
You mean for the opening ceremonies?
Sure. That'll warm up.
Well, sports related in the Olympics and typically, especially in Chicago, successful sports, right, when it comes to the Cubs. The opening ceremonies for the Cub Convention is going to be coming up. And now that's something that, you know, I have been only one time, and it was in the middle of, you know,
the doldrums,
some 50, 60, 70, 80, 100 years of nothing going on. And so it seemed like it was an opportunity to kind of get some memorabilia. So if you're a fan of the team, you can find some rare items, and there's people down there selling stuff. But now, you know, no one really wanted to meet any of the players. Maybe you got to meet Ryan Sandberg.
Well, you know there were lines for, there's been, when you go there, there's lines for certain players and, you know, to get autographs and whatnot. And then there, you know, the thing that I enjoyed was the state of the team. You found out where the new construction projects were going. You know, where some of the other things besides what's going on the field itself, you're finding out about, especially now with all the things that are going on at Wrigley Field with all the construction, everything is being done. It was nice to hear some of the, you know, an hour seminar talking about a bunch of different topics that were, you know, going on about the ball club, even if it wasn't necessarily about, you know, acquiring players.
We're
going
to talk a little bit more about the 2016 Cub Convention, some of the things people are looking forward to. And, of course, your favorite bands, first concert, Smashing Pumpkins in 96 at the Rosemont Horizon from the 847. And a lot of people, I'm sure, certainly WGN fans, going to see Steve Cochran at the Rouse Center for New Year's Eve. Of course, I think he does two shows, 312-981-7200 to add in your thoughts. Love the tunes. 7-0.
Absolutely. Those are great.
720 WGN. It is Dane Neal in studio. Nick DiGilio. It is New Year's Eve. People are excited about 2016, or at least not completely depressed. right? You know,
we're doomed. We're never going to make it.
Doomed. The whole world starts brand new tonight. Little baby New Year, right? He's going to come down.
Clean slate.
He's going to wave his magic cleansing wand. We're trying to get a hold of David Hammond. You know him from Oak Park. You know him from Rivet Radio. You know him from the Chicago Sun-Times. He is a food and lifestyle writer. He is in Thailand. He is in Chiang Mai. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. And if I'm not, no one knows.
Thailand. I don't.
So hopefully, like, we're trying to get through to him, but hopefully, and I did message him, so hopefully he'll be able to kind of call in our studio hotline. If he can't, that would be kind of depressing, as he was going to share, you know, the New Year's in Thailand, certainly some of the foods and the exciting things that he has had. One great thing about Chicagoland is you can experience all of those different foods, not all of them, but many of those. We got a really great and cool, diverse food scene here in Chicago, so get out there and have some Thai food if we don't get a chance to talk to David.
There it is. Hopefully he'll call in. We'll be able to talk to him and find out what's going on over there in the beautiful area of Thailand.
I was
going to
ask him a little bit about the music scene in Thailand, too, if there's maybe any some major acts. I don't know that on a world tour if an REO Speedwagon, whatever, however many original members, may show up there. But people are sharing, 312-981-7200, sharing their thoughts on music bands they'd like to see getting back together. And, of course, their first concert. And people seem to be enjoying that. First concert was Jonathan Brandmeier and the Leisure Suits. So Gary over at the 630 is going to stay home with his wife and son for New Year's Eve. And I guess maybe play some of those.
Bring out the video from Poplar Creek.
You know, I mean, regardless of. You've got a, that's a testament to, like, you know, somebody who could sell some tickets, right? Because I think I might have gone to one of those concerts.
And I did. I went to that one that was at Poplar Creek. The one at the time was the most tickets sold ever at a concert at that venue.
I'm surprised that they broke down Poplar Creek. Now they've got the Sears Center there, and of course the Beer Fest Beatdown took place there. So they've got an indoor stadium where you typically see some monster trucks and, you know, so maybe some
sporting events,
some wrestling events, and certainly some beer events. But when it comes to concert, where is also, you know, where's your favorite place to see a concert? Wrigley Field has been doing more and more of that as they're trying to make more use of the facility. Got a chance, a good friend of mine who is Paul Harvey's right-hand guy for so many years.
Good day.
Is friends with the bassist for Billy Joel. So I got to see Billy Joel at Wrigley Field. It is a really cool place to see a show.
Yeah, I have not been there yet. And I know there's been several. I think James Taylor's coming there this summer now. There's been a lot of great acts that have played there over the years, and I know that the Ricketts family were encouraging more use of their facilities to make more money. So, you know, I'm sure we'll continue to see that happening going forward, and I look forward to seeing what other acts they'll add to the bill this year.
That's what they're doing. That's what they're doing at Wrigley Field. They have, you know, they usually have like two or three concerts there. Some really cool bands that are looking for that opportunity to play. I mean, because it's so much fun for the fans to see it in that setting. You know, so if you haven't been to a concert at Wrigley Field, get out there and do it. Hopefully and ideally with a band that you're excited to see. But you can tell, because it isn't just another, just another outdoor kind of venue,
open air, right?
Just another, you know, the Enormo Dome. This is a unique place with a lot of history, albeit losing history behind it. and so the bands are usually really excited to be there as well. And we see like the Foo Fighters, like Pearl Jam plays there. So as the Cubs kind of stride towards trying to get towards what will hopefully be, you know, a championship of some kind. What's going to be the theme song for the Cubs, do you think?
Well, the Go Cubs Go thing's been around for a while, and maybe it's time that we come up with a new, fresher song. But it is tradition, and I'm a traditionalist, so, I mean, if they continue to sing the song, it's not going to bother me.
No,
but
there's nothing wrong with that song. I mean, you know, for those bands that you would be, and you wouldn't be, you know, because you got your hand on the pulse of some of this stuff, but, like, the Cubs have a lot of fans. You know, we saw the Blackhawks, and I think Jim was talking about it, you know, in the show preceding us, that when they were you know, kind of in their doldrums, right? 5,000 people at the stadium.
I couldn't give my tickets away when I had them back in the 90s.
You tried to give me the tickets, right? And I said, I don't have time to go. And that's
right.
And for people, that is the absolute truth, as crazy as that sounds. And also as crazy as it sounds, the Chicago Wolves were the premier hockey team in the city.
Yeah, I did go see several of their games when they came out, when they were first at here in
they
Chicago.
They had Pat Foley. They had,
oh, it was, right.
I think Chelios was even playing.
Well, L.C. Cord doing his 15-second shift, and then off the ice he went, but at the end of his career. But, yeah, there was a lot of buzz about that because it was new and it was fresh and it was affordable. And you were watching decent hockey for the price, and where you wouldn't get that with the Wirtz family at the time because they weren't very good.
But sleeping giants as far as the fan base for the Blackhawks, of course, WGN is the flagship for the mighty team, and you saw just how many fans were there once that team came back, and in a big way, obviously one of the it's a dynasty, right? You know, so one of the greatest franchises, certainly one of the greatest uniform. I mean, it's not the Tampa Bay Devil Rays, right? The Blackhawks is just a beautiful uniform, and then of course the fan base and the success. And you saw, I mean, a testament, like sold out, just the rallies, you know, Soldier Field. I mean,
yeah, I mean, it was a perfect storm with all of the things that happened with, you know, unfortunately with, you know, Bill Wirtz passing away. You know, his sons decided that they were going to, you know, switch the roles and, you know, what they were doing at the time. And Rocky took over the Blackhawks, and the rest really is history. He got home games on TV. They brought in Jay Blunk and you know, they brought John McDonough over from the Cubs, and the marketing
Olive Branch
up.
Went out to, you know, Bobby Hull,
right,
and all of those
back
old players,
all the ambassadors, right? And so they have just, that's the blueprint right now for success in the city is what they did, and you know, that's what started it. And now the Cubs are trying to, you know, they've always had the big fan base. They've always had, you know, they don't have to market themselves like a lot of teams because they're the Cubs and everybody knows who they are. But getting fans in the stands, being able to afford the guys that they just picked up, I mean, these are things that, you know, Tom Ricketts obviously had his eye on, you know, when he bought the club. So, you know, it's,
well, they're doing a lot of the right things on the field. People would say that, you know, and even as though there were naysayers saying, oh, this is the wrong moves, or the team is too bad. I mean, you look at what's going on now, and the team is very successful. I mean, they're absolutely good. But I'll tell you right now is that there are so many Cub fans that haven't even, like, stuck their head up to be, you know, kind of vocally enthusiastic about things because we've been hurt so much before, is that, yeah. I'm telling you, if that team does achieve some of the success, whether it's this year or next year or you know, or multiple years in the future, I mean, it will be something to behold, you know, the kind of rallies and crazy. And I think it'll be nationwide. I think they've got fans all over.
Well, the barometer, I think, will be in January. We'll see what happens once the Cub convention starts. You know, there's always a buzz when because you know spring training's right around the corner. You know, when that happens in January, and at that point, you'll see it was sold out in a matter of a few minutes back in the fall when tickets went on sale. And so I'm looking forward to getting there and seeing, and you know, seeing what the pulse is of the fans that are there and what their reactions are when the, you know, when these players come out and all of it. So it should be a good time.
Well, if there is a victory and there is a rally, somebody in the 309 area code that's down there in Peoria will be excited if maybe the John Mayer tribute is there in 2016. They said 309, I would pay an absurd amount of money to see John Mayer. John Mayer would be happy about that. He would like to be paid an absurd amount of money.
Sure.
He's a talented guy, right?
Oh, so, absolutely. He's played with a lot of other musicians and different collaborations, and he's very talented in his own right, absolutely.
So you hope that when that happens, and it is in Wrigley Field, the thing that you can't control is the weather. But, Dino, you have the weather here on WGN. I'm going to love it, it's That's awesome. Festive music, 720 WGN. Daniel in for Nick DiGilio until 5. I've got Dino Tiberi to my right. Dan is in the booth playing some of the best bumper music that I've heard. I think it's, you know, as you're going to close out a year, you want good music. You want it to fit with the festive atmosphere that you hope is on a New Year's Eve.
Well, I think so far mission accomplished tonight is Dan's really worked the music just like you should be tonight. And
he's a maestro.
Yeah, you guys were talking about the Cubs, and I realized I had Starlin Castro's old walk-up theme in my email somewhere, yeah, so I decided to pull it just because I wanted to hear it.
Nice.
Yep.
You know, and I want to let Dan know, too, is that we're going to talk with Lagunitas after the 4:30 break. So we are going to kind of keep it to that. Of course, you got the walk-up theme.
Why not?
As thousands of people, a full capacity of the tickets available, are going to be walking up to the Cub convention this year. It's always been one of those things that sort of sold out. I always remember it being difficult. I don't want to say difficult, but there was never just tons of tickets laying around. It's always been something that Cub fans love to do. But now, I mean, this may be for some people out there, as tickets become a little more scarce, this may be the best chance for them to get up close and personal with the Cubs.
There's no question about it, Dane. And really what it's all about is the fans showing their love for the franchise and all the people involved in it. There's a lot of great discussions that are done talking about what's going on with the ball club and inside the park and out. There's a lot of great events around, starting with the opening ceremonies. The Blackhawks, John McDonough had started the Cub convention many years ago, and they've piggybacked off the Cubs' success and did their own thing with the Blackhawks. And
did their own thing, like win Stanley Cups?
Yeah, besides, of course, not the winning part of it on the Cub end. But, it's a great event, and I think the fans really love everything about it. There's a lot of things to do. There's a lot of things to see. There's a lot of the players are walking around. You may be lucky enough to get an autograph or a picture with one of them. There's great memorabilia that's being sold, and there's a lot of interactive things for the kids. And so it's one of those events that if you can get to it once, you owe it to yourself to get out there and try it.
Usually it's at the Chicago Hilton on Michigan Avenue. I don't know if it's still
there. It was there. They've moved it recently. I'm trying to think what hotel they have it in now. I think it might. It's not the Hyatt Regency, if I don't remember. I'm trying to remember now. They just a few years ago moved it.
It's the Sheraton now.
The Sheraton, that's right. There it is.
Take it in.
They moved it over to the Sheraton, which was a little, the first time I was there was a little out of sorts, not knowing where you're going and where things are at. But I think things are starting to settle down and people, are getting comfortable with that venue as opposed to the other one.
What's cool about it is that you, in the past, and the one time that I've been there, but certainly when I hear about it, people would want to go, Ron Santo, obviously not with us anymore, but people would want to, meet a Ryne Sandberg or some of those, like a Billy Williams, some of those older Cubs, and that was kind of like the highlight, right? You didn't necessarily, meeting the current Cubs wasn't always as exciting as it could have been, but now you have this team, the current team. I mean, these guys are poised to be as big a stars as we've seen in Chicago.
Yeah, and I think they had panels with the 69 Cubs and the 84 Cubs, and it's like we've had that discussion how many years in a row, and it would be nice if we could get the young blood, get them talking about where they think the team's going to go and what the expectations are going forward, and just be having the fans be able to relate to younger ball club, which we have now. And so it's nothing against the older guys, they're treasures in their own right, but at the same time, it's time to move a little forward and past that and get more things more current in those discussions.
85 Bears, winning that Super Bowl in January of 86,
right?
And you understand those guys are still huge stars in Chicago, and rightly so. It was one of the greatest teams of all time. Certainly was the last time that a championship on the football side for a football town has happened. But still, I think even if the Bears were to win a Super Bowl now with this current team, of course it's impossible, right? But I'm just saying, these guys would still be great because it happened. It was the first time as far as a Super Bowl. It was just kind of a perfect storm of personalities.
Right. And they were larger than life back then, and they still are now. It would be great, again, if we could get a winner. If another team could win the Super Bowl, again, nothing against that team, but it's been how many years now? It'd be nice to see if somebody else could get that done. And the Cubs, I think it's time for them to do it.
What I'm getting is it's kind of depressing is that like your revered Cub teams are historic, famous losing teams.
They've never won anything.
I mean,
that's the most frustrating part of it all. I mean,
and do you think? And of course, you know, we've met and known some of those Cub players over the years, and they're excited to be a part of it. I don't want to say because of the history, but just because, you know, it's a great franchise with a fan base, and it's nice to have people, you know, care what it is and remember what it is that you did for your career. But to have like some of the most significant things being, you know, just huge collapses. You know, but everybody seems okay with it.
Well, the lovable losers, and, you know, most people don't, it doesn't bother them if they continue to lose. And finally, at this point, in my opinion, I've been fed up with it for a long time with the losing part of it. And I just want them to win. And I think this team's built finally to do that and make the next step. And pretty much, you know, with the newer players coming, and this will kind of be an unveiling for the fans to be able to see the new Cub team as they've been currently constructed by Theo Epstein, and we'll see what it's all about. But I'm looking forward to it. In mid-January, they'll have I think Kerry Wood has an event that goes on the Friday before Woody's Warm Up, I believe it's called. They usually have it down at Harry Carey's restaurant, and I think that's one of the things. And then the Cub Caravan, of course, will be around. So a lot of opportunities for fans to get out and see the Cubs, new and old, young and old. It's a great event. If you can get down there somehow and get a ticket, even though they're sold out, I'm sure there'll be some things on.
There'll be a man outside on a bicycle saying who needs two. What?
Yeah, who needs 200? You know, there's some opportunities, I believe, if you go out on you know, various like Craigslist or other places, maybe selling those things. I don't know, but. All I know is, you know, the last couple of years it's been a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to this year once again.
Here's something that's going to be a little bit different about this year's Cub convention. Certainly it's always based on the team, you know, the present, and certainly, of course, the past. But now, you know, the team's changed, but typically the ballpark has remained essentially the same, or maybe the same and then crumbling a little more year
sure.
after year. So this is going to be different as you look at not only a ballpark that is being maintained, you know, with some upkeep, but there's going to be significant changes in there. And I think, but still trying to preserve, you know, all of the things that make it Wrigley Field. So you're not trying to change that. I think one of the biggest things that's different about it is, you know, you've got those jumbotrons that they put up there. People were scared about that. And yeah, they've done it in such a, like a really smart, kind of tactful way. They didn't make where it really does blend, and certainly it does enhance. You know, to be able to see an instant replay at Wrigley Field, I think, is a luxury. So when you have those traditionalists, those purists, they like, don't mess with it. I mean, this is better. Come on.
There's no question about it. I mean, you still have the manual scoreboard in center field for those people who are interested in that. But
for your manual scoreboard,
right?
Fans.
The video boards on either side and left and right field. Just totally make the experience at Wrigley Field a different thing altogether now. And, you know, this year the clubhouse is getting redone. You know, they're going to start doing some of the other infrastructure around the park. It's just an exciting time. You know, they're making strides with the ball club. They're making strides with, you know, all the construction projects. And I'm curious to see where they're going with it going forward. And I'm sure they'll have a discussion about that at the convention as well, and I'll try to make sure I get to that so I can find out exactly what the plans are going forward.
Over the course of the fall, I got a chance to talk with Julian Green from the Cubs and Kevin Sagi, who does their social media, and you know that's part of what it is that they're looking to do on the family side and the Ricketts side is have that team on the field. Of course, that's the most important thing, but also be successful as a business too, so that you can support those free agents, so you can keep the players you have and go out and get a player when you need them. And they have done that as well. I mean, they're going to build a hotel. They've kind of cleaned up that whole issue with there's always that kind of nagging rooftop situation, regardless of what side you come down on.
Right.
It was always a controversy, and now they've kind of fixed that too.
Yeah, and they've been able to, you know, buy up a couple of buildings around the outside there, a couple of rooftops themselves, and, you know, things are going in the right direction at this point, and I think it's exciting. It's going to be an exciting 2016
yes.
for on the field, and I'm looking forward to getting to the ballpark and watching some games this summer.
Cubs baseball, winning baseball, the convention going to happen in 2016. What goes better with baseball? Obviously, like a cold beer goes better with that. We're going to be talking with the folks at Lagunitas when we come back from the break. It's Daniel in for Nick on New Year's Eve, 720 WGN.
When the bells all ring and the horns all blow and the couples we know are fondly kissing,
Will I be with you, or will I be among the missing?
It's beautiful. 720 WGN, Allstate Showcase Studio, New Year's Eve. Dan, who is that? Is that like Ella Fitzgerald or something?
It is, yeah.
Okay. That lady could sing. I want somebody, 312-981-7200, somebody to say, like, I saw Ella Fitzgerald in 1945, and it was awesome.
Yeah,
and it was 25 cents to get in, and in the after party, it was insane.
Yeah, live or on Memorex, one way or the other, I'm sure it was fantastic.
One thing that goes along with parties on New Year's Eve is, of course, libations, and Chicago is crazy about its craft beer. There is a huge boom going on in the craft beer industry, and Karen Hamilton, she's a communications director over there at Lagunitas. They are right there in the middle of it all.
And we look forward to it continuing in this way. I mean, the beer industry in general, like you said, things are booming. And so we have been fortunate to be able to participate in that and to benefit from it as well.
So when it comes to Lagunitas, and there are so many players out there, and it seems like it's happening more and more. It was a handful of years ago, there was maybe 1,000 breweries, 1,500 breweries. Now there's probably over 3,000 breweries going on, but Lagunitas is one of those that has been around for a while and so identified with California. So how were you able to take that whole California vibe, very cool, but also very different from Chicago, and kind of blend it into what we're doing here?
Well, you know, it's interesting. The guy who owns Lagunitas is Tony McGee, and actually, he's my brother, and we're from Chicago.
Nice.
So, we used to kind of joke that Lagunitas was a Midwestern beer brewed in California. And we were not afraid of building our second brewery in our hometown. We were looking forward to it, and it's just been tremendous. It's been an unbelievably positive experience. But because of that, and because we're from here, you know, we just took the ethos and brought it on back, kind of where a lot of it originated, you know, from us growing up here. And so it's been terrific. People are really all the same everywhere when it comes right down to it. We have, you know, similar things that are important to us and similar things that we're interested in. And fortunately for us, a lot of people are interested in good flavorful beer. So we just, here we are. And it goes on.
Yeah, here you guys are in a place where now, I was surprised to see this in a news story that we did not too long ago, that Chicago is second not only to Portland as far as the actual breweries that that are in, you know, within the city limits. So now, do you think, of course, you have that Midwestern sensibility, and that certainly, I think, plays well wherever you go anywhere around the country. But did the experience of building up a really great brand in California kind of help you as far as trying to figure out exactly how to do it here in Chicago?
Well, I think anytime you've done something for a while, it lends itself to guiding your future, right? So as far as that goes, we've been in business for over 22 years. So you do something for that long, hopefully you get a handle on it, right? But the fact that Chicago was our neighborhood, that really helped us because we knew the people, we knew the town, we knew the neighborhoods, and it made it easier than, let's say, if we were to, you know, build in an area that is unknown to us.
Right. When you guys came into town too, and there was so much hype for it, so much anticipation for the tap room and for the food in the restaurant, and you knew, you know, over the course of the time in California that you wanted to possibly bring the beer back here home. But were you excited about just the reception that you guys got, how happy everyone is to have Lagunitas here?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we hoped they'd be happy. You know, we hoped people would come see us down at our new brewery in Douglas Park. But, you know, so you just hope that. And then with the people getting more and more excited over the year and a half that after from we announced it to when, you know, we opened, that was very rewarding. And you know, for all of us, me personally, because I used to be on the sales side in Lagunitas, and I opened Chicago as a market. So there's so much of me that lives in the city besides physically. I'm here. That it just brought everything kind of full circle. It, like I said, rewarding to know that all the time, the effort, you know, was definitely well spent and well received. And then the people of the city and the suburbs, you know, returned the favor. And so, yeah, it's been great.
Yeah, and it's great that you're, you know, all of that experience is turning out and creating great experiences for people here. So let's talk a little bit about the beer. Of course, you have those famous, you know, brands, famous brews, you know, the Maximus IPA, Little Something Something. Those are hits all around the country. But you got a couple new ones coming up. And I wonder if, you know, are you the person that comes up with the names? I know craft beer just traditionally has a lot of goofy names, but you've got some like the Brown Sugar and then the Hairy Eyeball. I don't know if that sounds appetizing, but
I know. no, and actually we had Hairy Eyeball. This is a beer that's been around for a long time. And then my brother Tony thought, well, let's make a beer called Hair of the Eyeball. And then that went over kind of okay. And then he had a whole nother, you know, play off of that. And he was going to do a trilogy, and the last one just fell flat. So we kept Hairy Eyeball and then moved on from that. The names come from interesting places. One of our beers was named by our VP of Finance. One of our beers, Little Something Something, was kind of a crazy name that came up during a drunken sales meeting. So you just never know where the names are going to come from.
Now, a drunken sales meeting, is that a typical sales meeting? I'm sure there has to be a certain amount of tasting that goes along with the entire process and quality control. Was this an especially celebratory meeting?
It was very small. There was maybe, you know, four or five of us across the whole United States. So we'd get together in the morning, and we'd maybe open up a little cappuccino stout, and we'd discuss the numbers. You know, we'd look at the numbers and how much we expected to sell in each of our markets. And then we'd break for lunch, and we'd go to a local pub, and they would have pitchers of Lagunitas. So we'd start with that. And then we brought beers back to share around the table in the afternoon, and it was during that time that Little Something Something name was given its birth. So today, you know, not so much. We're a little bit bigger, and our sales meetings are large, and there's much more to cover. So the drunken sales meetings don't occur anymore. Now that kind of tomfoolery occurs after the sales meeting.
Well, you have to have a passion for what is going on, for sure. And I'm sure now, as opposed to then, you guys were believers back in the day, but now I'm sure there are a lot more sales, right, to discuss. I mean, there's a lot more going on with that. And so bringing in the beer is very popular. Is it available like in all 50 states? Is it available in certain areas of the country? Where can people get Lagunitas? It feels like it's always been here.
Actually, it is available in all 50 states now. We just accomplished that a few months ago. So that's pretty cool. And locally, it's available at all the major liquor stores and pubs and restaurants And I just say, if you walk into a store and you don't find Lagunitas and you're looking for it, please ask for it.
Yep, just ask for it by name, and Karen will get it. They'll have a meeting, like a regular important sales meeting, and then they'll have that. It'll be on the shelf someplace, as of course it deserves to be. So the beer is popular. You guys are doing that. What people really love and have responded to is the tap room and bringing in some of the food sites. So when did that thought process come? You figure, well, people are going to be here. They're going to be tasting. We might as well feed them.
Well, we, you know, it's irresponsible to serve alcohol and not feed them. So we have a great menu of food. Our executive chef is unbelievable, Chef Bob, and he came to us from the Skyboxes. I don't know if it's called Skyboxes over at Wrigley. And he the VIP boxes, and he used to be the chef there, and so he was known as the Sultan of Smoke.
Nice.
So yeah, Bob puts together a tremendous menu for us, and then you can get, you know, flights and you can around the world and everything, or you can just get whatever beer that you want. They're very reasonably priced because you're getting it from the source, and we hope people, you know, come by and try a lot of our beers, you
yep.
know, because you have the opportunity to do that. And then the tours are there. The tours are complimentary, and the coolest thing about the tap room is it's 26 feet up in the air in the center of a 300,000 square foot building. It's surrounded by glass, and catwalks go off out of the tap room. So you can take a guided tour, or you can do a self-guided wandering around. So it's somewhat unusual to be able to wander around a brewery on your own, because usually the tours are on the floor and it's dangerous. So we have this particular, you know, uniqueness where people can go and see, and you look at a unique perspective from above. So it's a beer city inside the great city of Chicago. That's kind of
300,000 square feet. Oh, that's awesome. Well, for people to give them those opportunities, certainly on the sales side, to be able to enjoy beer at all of their favorite spots and get it at all their favorite stores, that's wonderful. To have a place that you mentioned in Douglas Park where people can go and enjoy the beer, like in its essence, right? And then also get some food that's been chosen specifically for it. I think that's great. So bringing not only great beer, but great atmosphere to it. And the tap room is open, looks like from noon till 9 p.m. on pretty much a regular basis. So hopefully people can make an appointment to get out there and see you.
Yeah, just haven't checked the website. We're closed Mondays and Tuesdays, and we open that area up for nonprofits to throw fundraisers. So Wednesday through Sunday, our tap room's open, and then you can get the tap room hours and the tour hours and all that kind of stuff on the website.
Karen Hamilton, one of the people, part of the family that has been bringing us great beer and now great places to enjoy it for so many years with Lagunitas. Before we let you go, let's give out that website if you could.
It's Lagunitas.com.
It doesn't get easier than that. Lagunitas.com. Karen Hamilton, thanks so much for being on WGN.
All right. Thank you. Happy holidays to all the people out there.
All right. Nothing better than craft beer in 2016. It's 720 WGN. It is Dane Neal in the Allstate Showcase Studio in for Nick DiGilio until 5 a.m. today. It is New Year's Eve, and as people hope for, look for, pine for exciting happenings and experiences in 2016, everyone's hoping that the Blackhawks will win again, right?
Yep, that make it 4 out of 7 years. Why not?
You're like, I second that emotion. Well, some lucky people are going to be able to join the Blackhawks on a trip to Minneapolis. Hey, Chicago Blackhawk fans, come with WGN Radio and spend a hockey-filled 3-day weekend away in Minneapolis this February 2nd through the 22nd. You'll travel by chartered coach north to the Twin Cities and see the outdoor alumni game at TCF Bank Stadium on the University of Minnesota campus. Then on Sunday, it's the Chicago Blackhawks facing the Central Division rival Minnesota Wild at the 2016 Coors Light NHL Stadium Series outdoor game. How cool is that? Your tour includes accommodations at the Hampton Inn, Minneapolis downtown, steps from restaurants and nightlife, two breakfasts and game tickets. Call Sunrise Tours at 800-881-8804 to book your tour or find pricing and booking information at WGNradio.com/events. That sounds fun.
That is going to be a good time. Whoever's lucky enough to win that one.
You know what? What's going to be a good time is coming up later on tonight. And we talked about it with Jim was kind of saying, okay, New York has the ball drop. We have the star rise. Yeah, I mean, the star rise, it's not bad. And we wonder, like, how these decisions get made, like how people decide, well, this is what we're going to do. You know, this is great. Some of them are kind of odd, right? And some of them are no-brainers. Yep. But we have it. This is way better than some places around the country. Some of them make sense because these are iconic images that kind of tie into that community. Raleigh, North Carolina, a huge acorn. You didn't know Raleigh was the acorn city. Apparently it is. Huge acorn is lowered down a pole to issue in the new year. That's pretty normal.
An acorn drop.
Now, Plymouth, Wisconsin, 80-pound decorated wedge of cheese will descend from a 100-foot ladder truck. So sometimes you don't have a big building, you know, to put it on, right? So you need a ladder truck. But cheese, Wisconsin, it makes sense. Flagstaff, Arizona, a 70-pound lighted pine cone will be lowered from the Weatherford Hotel.
Lighted pine cone.
That's pretty good. I mean, and then
Different. There's no question about that.
And then in New Orleans, French Quarter will lower a fleur-de-lis to ring in the new year. These things all make sense. Steve, you think that? I mean, those make sense, right? Those fit with the community.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Now, the in Brasstown, North Carolina, for 20 years, a live possum has been lowered in a box from a pole outside of a convenience store. So they have not only...
Jim Bob gets up there, all right, drop it down.
Right. No, but you've got 20 years of history and tradition there, right? So in Presque Isle, Maine, the annual sardine and maple leaf drop features a giant sardine.
Oh,
sardines
good God.
Typically, you know, they're small, right? This,
right.
Was, this is a big one, dropped in honor of the city's historic sardine fishing and canning past. Tucson, Arizona, not to be outdone, will drop a 15-foot taco.
A 15-foot taco.
Yeah.
Yeah, with all the fixings, why not?
So if you thought Star Rising was, you know, anticlimactic, it's not, right? Whitman, Massachusetts, a replica of the Tall House cookie will be dropped for the first time. So the fine, I love a Tall House cookie. The
Keebler Elves going to be dropping those down.
Yeah, those are pretty good. And then Kennett Square, Pennsylvania, an 8-foot, 500-pound sparkling lit mushroom will drop in what is known as the mushroom capital of the world. So if you want a pine cone, normal pine cone's kind of mundane, not that interesting. If you can light it up and make it sparkle, you've got something.
Yeah, I think so. That seems to be something that you could take a nice big picture of when you see it go down.
So is this big star that they've erected across the river on Wacker, on East Wacker, is that going to be lit with fireworks and stuff?
Or? I don't know about the fireworks, Steve, but I think what they're going to do is raise it. I think they're going to raise it up.
How high?
To the top of whatever.
Well, it was out of sight last night. They were running some practice runs, and I was watching it go up, and then I didn't see it, and then it came back down, and they ran it back up again.
How do you think the practice runs go with the live possum in a box?
Hey, you got away. We got to do it again.
You know, I think that who's missing out here are the Blackhawks. They should have a puck drop.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They're going to be out of town. Puck. They'll be in Denver tomorrow.
Steve, this studio here, this is a think tank, because that actually makes sense.
Yeah, a big old puck, maybe 20, 30 foot across.
Sure. And maybe what they could do is have what the refs normally do is fake the puck drop and kick someone out and then have somebody else come in and witness the puck drop.
Oh, and that sounds infinitely sponsorable, too. The puck drop brought to you by you name yourself.
Right, exactly.
Well, sometimes it is products, you know, so there's obviously some kind of marketing, you know, and not only that goes like mushroom capital of the world, but so in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, I think steel, right?
Steel, sure.
Right, but a fiberglass peep will be dropped from a crane.
A what?
A peep.
A peep, which peep. Is, I guess maybe they make that traditional Easter
marshmallow
snack.
Thing.
Yeah.
Peep.
Vincennes, Indiana, an 18-foot. Now, here, some of these things are difficult to come by. You can build a peep as big as you want, sure. Right? You just get the folks at the peep factory, start growing a peep. But an 18-foot, 500-pound watermelon will drop as it is celebrated to usher in the excitement as people get ready to enjoy the summer months ahead of the new year. So they're trying to flash forward through all of
Six
these.
6 months. We're in January. We're going right to July.
Yeah, happy 2016. Let's get it over with.
Is Vincennes the watermelon capital?
I would hope so, Steve, because otherwise it doesn't make much sense.
Then they should do a pumpkin in Morton, right? Morton's the pumpkin capital.
Yeah, why not? Just all you do is light it up, and if you can make it sparkle.
Blow it up.
More, even better.
Boise, Idaho, guys, what do you think they're dropping?
Potatoes.
That's right. Well,
that's a rough one there. I'm going to be going on a limb.
It's a spudtacular event, said the crack marketing team.
Spuds McKenzie going to show up there too? Why not?
In Las Cruces, New Mexico, 15-foot chili drop includes 400 feet of LED lights. It's the first year, so they're kind of decide whether the chili should be red or green.
Oh, well, some of these things are going to have to iron themselves out over time, it sounds like, except for the live possum.
Is this like they pour chili out of a giant can? Or
this is the first time they're doing it, Steve, so we'll all be riveted to our internet in order to find out what they're doing, unless you can be there on site, which, of course, get in your car, start driving. And the last one, Mount Olive, North Carolina, a 3-foot pickle will be dropped from a 45-foot flagpole. So, I mean, some things are more impressive than others. I mean, an 18-foot watermelon or even any kind of sized possum, I guess, in a box is pretty cool.
Well, Mount Olive is just down the road from Mayberry.
Oh. True. Mm-hmm. It's all right there. North Carolina, it's all interconnected.
They should drop a Barney Fife's, like, single bullet.